If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
Ellen, please. I just got home. Don't rush me.
Anyways, this is Super Dave on the Alt Show on 88.9 Radio Free Pasadena. And before... So anyways, coming up, we got some Pennywise and some Beastie Boys. But first, these commercials.
Watch your back, my little immigrant friend.
That's hot.
Whore!
That's hot.
Whore!
That's hot.
Whore!
That's hot.
Don't mention that whore to me.
Oh no, she's a whore.
I'm a whore. I'm a whore.
Well, I would be lying to you if I didn't say that there were moments that I thought to myself, whore, this isn't such a bad way to earn a living.
You're a whore. A filthy, filthy whore.
Whore. Whore. Whore. Whore. Whore.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
Whore!
This is not how I wanted to wake up.
Where is that whore?
Who's your whore? Who's your whore?
I know how I am, so that's fine.
And now.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, we're back. Thank you.
Our feature presentation.
It was a horror mix this morning.
That was very sure. Enjoyable.
Very nice. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Tuesday, the 9th of Rocktober.
At least, now that you're a sports fan, now that you spend every waking minute watching sports, do you experience the highs and lows that we fans go through every day where sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad?
Well, Bean, I'm only watching one team.
Yeah.
And they're in the playoffs, so they don't play again until Friday.
And that's not any of the local teams, because they're already done.
Right. So, no. The answer to your question is not really. Last night I had a perfectly nice evening.
No. How happy I should be that the Yankees were eliminated yesterday, or is that countered by how sad I am that the Cowboys won, even though clearly Tony Romo was on the take and trying to throw the game, and they still won?
Yeah, they were in Buffalo. It was Monday Night Football last night, Lisa. And I've never seen... You couldn't quite hear Bean because stupid Psycho Mike was yelling there. I've never seen a quarterback, I don't know, get paid like on the field to throw it. I mean,
seriously?
The guy came out with a briefcase and started handing him money.
A banker called him and said, all right, throw an interception. He threw, how many interceptions did he have total? Because he had four in the first half. Five interceptions total he threw to the other team.
Wow.
Two for touchdowns.
Wow.
I've never seen a worse performance by a quarterback, but they got all the way back down to the end, and they have a rookie kicker. First year in the league. His longest field goal is 47 yards, and he has to make a 53-yarder to win it. And they just get down right at the very end, and here's what happened.
College is 52. This is 53 for the win. Nick Folk is online. Is it long enough? The Cowboys win! But no, a timeout called by Buffalo. They pulled a Mike Shanahan moment and called for time before
right
the
kick. Snap. Buffalo called a timeout.
So just to ice
him. Okay, so the guy kicks the field goal, makes it.
Makes a 53-yarder.
But right before he kicked, they called a timeout.
The other team called a timeout just before the snap.
Oh, that's brutal.
So it doesn't count.
So he has to kick again?
So he's got to get back out there and kick again.
Isn't the weirdest thing?
That is evil.
They show the replay of the coach, the Buffalo Bills coach, calling the last second timeout. It's the weirdest thing. Because the offensive coordinator, the coach, they're gathered around the sideline referee, and they're just waiting. And then all of a sudden they go, time, like right as they all like.
They wanted him to go through and kick it. They wanted him to mentally be.
So
then
what happened?
They lined up again. Remember, rookie, never made one this far before.
Is he going to kick it again? What do you think, Mike? Is he going to kick it again? Got another timeout. Again for the win. Again from 53 yards. This kick is online again, and again, it is good, and the Cowboys stun the Bills, 25-24, a remarkable game in Buffalo.
That dude hit two in a row from 53 yards, and 53 yards for any kicker in the NFL is a pretty difficult distance. I mean, people can hit
that's outside. That's outside yardage right there.
I take it the Bills didn't have any more timeouts.
Well, no. It was
the game's over.
The game was over.
No, I mean before he kicked the second time.
Oh, right. They would have. Oh, definitely.
If they had it, they'd have used it.
Yeah, that's a horrible rule.
Wow.
And by the way, even to get into position to make those field goals, remember that the Cowboys had to score within the final minute of the game, then recover the onside kick, and then get close enough, you know, with a couple of passes that had to hit. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be at that distance. So, I mean, that last minute of the game was, well, it was just stunning.
Everything all the way through that game was just mind-boggling. You couldn't believe they were throwing so many interceptions. You couldn't believe they were still in it. First of all, you couldn't believe that the Bills were ahead at any point in the game.
Yeah.
Because the Bills kind of blow. And the Cowboys are doing pretty well. But, man, to get down at the end like that, to have the stones to be a new kicker in the league, go, all right, I'll make another one.
That kid's worth every dime.
Dear God.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting stuff.
If I didn't hate the Cowboys, I'd say that was an amazing, amazing
sure.
game.
Sure.
What was the line on that game going in? How much was Dallas favored by, Mike? Do you know?
I don't know coming in game time, but up till 2 days ago, it was over seven. It was over a touchdown. So, I mean, they were hefty favorites.
All I remember is yesterday here on the Kevin and Bean Show, you know, off the air, Mike was like, three touchdowns, bitches. They're going to win by three touchdowns.
Yeah, I was. I Tony Romo played pretty awful. And like you said,
five interceptions, and that's just pretty awful. Half.
But at the same, let's not remember, he also threw for over 300 yards. So, I mean, there was signs of...
Look, there's no team in the NFL that should or in almost any circumstances will win if you throw five interceptions.
And that was only,
two for touchdowns.
And that was only part of the problem. There was a lot of other mistakes. There's penalties and fumbles. But, you know, the sign of a great team is winning when they play poorly.
My
winning
God.
When they play poorly. So that's all I'm saying. When their back was against the wall, Cowboys. T.O.'s big, big, burly white teeth gleaming on the sideline.
Yeah.
Woo!
5-0.
5-0.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Dallas undefeated.
That's a switch for them, isn't it?
It is, yeah. They've been really bad. Well, you know, they were great for a lot of years, and then they were really bad for a lot of years, and now they're starting.
And then they were great for a few more years, and then they were really bad up until recently.
And now with Mike here, they have to be good again.
Stupid Mike's a fan.
Last thing we need.
So annoying.
All right. Well, that was good times right there.
That was something. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Speaking of sports, Lisa?
Yes?
Now that you're completely obsessed with every sport.
Yes.
We're so excited
I'm
yesterday
on my way.
By the fact that she watched a little bit of sports over the weekend. It just changed our whole view of her.
She watched some baseball and she went to a hockey game. So that's a good start right there.
I'm exhausted.
Speaking of hockey, JSG Guerra from the Anaheim Ducks will be on the program today.
Oh, how happy are you?
As they start again? Well, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
Also on today's show, we have Ask a Cop.
This should be interesting.
It's our series of Ask A. We started with Ask a Mexican. We did Ask a Black.
Mm-hmm.
We did Ask, what else?
Ask a Gay.
Gay, yes.
We did that.
And today it's Ask a Cop.
Okay.
I'm sure there'll be some good questions.
Coming into the studio, I guess he's retired, so he doesn't have to walk the line.
Right.
Of what
he can tell us the truth.
Exactly.
Awesome.
There are a lot of these stories, and I'm not sure when all this started happening, but too hot to fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kick a girl off because she's too hot or she's clothing is too revealing or whatever. And you get sent home from school and buses, can't get on a bus, you're too hot. It's really bizarre how and when this started happening. It seemed like it used to be you could dress as slutty as you want, you know, except for maybe high school or something. But
right. But
no one would say anything. They'd just look at you with disgust or glee, and you could move on about your business. But now they're kicking you off of planes and making you go home and making you change T-shirts. It's
and
really
there's
weird.
A rash of it recently.
Yes.
Last couple of months.
I don't know why Southwest isn't just handing out burkas with every boarding pass the way they're going.
They do.
I'm sorry, put this on.
They do seem to be the ones leading the way.
They sure do.
They are anti-heat. They do not like heat, and I'm not sure why. But anyway, we're going to take some phone calls on that this morning. We have another rousing rendition of Thanks for That Info, Bean.
Yay.
Oh, you're just making stuff up now.
I'll let you judge if you said it or not. I wrote it down verbatim. That's how I do it.
Bean, you thought you were being very careful this time.
I have been. Well, because I took such a beating last time we did Thanks for the Info, Bean, that I've gone out of my way to keep interesting facts to myself.
Well, what that tells me is you have no idea how much crap you tell us on a daily basis.
You think?
You have no concept.
This might be the best Thanks for the Info, Bean, ever.
Absolutely.
Oh, come on.
In contrast to Bean's version of really being, you know, tight-lipped and not letting all the good stuff out.
Right.
Asperger's syndrome is a mild and rare form of autism.
Come on,
it is typically characterized by difficulty establishing friendships and playing with peers.
That doesn't
trouble accepting conventional social rules.
Don't make
and
stuff.
They dislike any change in setting
or routine.
That's not appropriate at all.
And they have no idea of what it must be like on the other end of their conversation. That's a big part of it, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. They chat, and they don't see the boredom and then the annoyance on the face of the other person.
You could be trying to escape, won't even faze.
Chewing off your own arm, they don't notice.
I don't know why you're going to chew off your own arm. But
I don't know either.
Because you're just having a conversation. You're not hugging or anything. But
wait, right. is this why Donna cries? Is that what you guys are talking about?
Yes, that's one of the reasons, of course. Ethiopia, for some reason, is celebrating New Year's Eve 1999.
It's the new millennium there. It's just turned 2000 there, right?
They're using a calendar that's 7 years old, apparently.
But why?
I don't know.
Isn't it some sort of religious thing?
I don't know. All I know is there. If you were in Ethiopia right now, you'd be able to buy like little shot glasses that say 2000. Mm-hmm. All the stuff on it has printed 2000.
Well, that's so good for everyone who made that stuff years ago.
Yeah. Probably got it at a great price.
Sure.
I gotta find out what that's about because, I mean, granted, it's Ethiopia. They're not exactly a world-beating country, but they have to have interaction with other countries that are using a current calendar. How does that work for them?
All the other ones, aren't they? I mean, aren't pretty
much. Yes. This is more perplexing to me than that 13.5-hour time difference we discovered in Italy. That still boggles my mind.
Yeah, that is bizarre. And also, we have to make an intervention. We have to bring somebody in and talk to them about their drinking. In this particular case, it's not me. It's our intern, Beer Mug.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's some serious. There's serious problems.
This is a mess.
So we'll do that a little bit later on this morning. And more chances for you to qualify for that Incubus thing. You get the Incubus catalog, and you're qualified for that drawing on Friday. We're going to send you to Guadalajara, Mexico for the last stop on their tour, and that's coming up this morning. Ralph is next with the showbiz. I know we don't have time right now, but we do need to try and fit in some time to call Omar in and ask him how Gay Day was at Disneyland.
That's right.
Was he a special invited guest there? Or was it just a coincidence that he was there on Gay Day?
Yesterday he was trying to claim it was a coincidence.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I didn't know. Yeah. And then all of a sudden everyone there was gay. And he's like, what's going on here?
I just happened to show up wearing fuchsia. I don't know what happened there.
DJ Omar Khan.
What is fuchsia?
Is that the color? Fuchsia?
Fuchsia, you mean?
Fuchsia. That's what I said, fuchsia.
No, you
said
fuchsia.
Oh, then I apologize. Yeah. Fuchsia, obviously, is the color I was trying to...
Beam with his vowels again.
He can't do vowels. He's lost the ability to say vowels.
He had a vowel movement.
It's odd.
Hey!
5:50 Tuesday morning. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. Did Reggie have to sleep it off yesterday after his very exciting day with Daddy at work?
He was tuckered out.
I bet he was.
Little, poor little feller. And then we had puppy training last night, too. Monday nights we do puppy training.
Oh.
So, by the end of the night, he was like, are you effing kidding me?
Well, I was thinking about this yesterday because Ralph brought his dog in. He probably sleeps every day during the time that you're on the air. That's where he gets his best sleep. And then you had him up and running around and petting people and the whole deal.
He doesn't get up that early either. Usually I take him out before I leave, but then he goes back to sleep. And then my wife gets him up and feeds him and takes him for a walk and everything.
That's what we get our best sleep to, by the way.
Yeah, really, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm jealous he gets to sleep in until 7 or whatever it is. But, he was a pooped pup by the end of the night, so it was fun. Kevin's like, where's Reggie? He's part of the show now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I miss him.
No, he doesn't like you people.
No.
He liked Lisa. He liked humping her arm. That was his favorite part, I think.
He to jump me.
Yeah, well, you have that effect on men, Lisa. What can I say?
He's awful cute.
Details are starting to emerge about Pamela Anderson's latest wedding.
Yes.
And it just screams white trash.
What a surprise.
Apparently, guests were served pigs in a blanket, macaroni and cheese.
Oh, my God.
Tuna tacos.
Wait a second.
I know.
Lisa, man.
No.
Hey, Gene Simmons.
It's too easy, Gene.
Yes, speaking of tuna tacos, I mean.
Yes.
I don't know.
For dessert, jelly donut holes.
Jelly donut holes.
Sounds like a Kevin wedding. If Kevin could have a wedding, that's what he'd like to have.
I was going
to
say, that food sounds awesome.
Yeah. Thought Kevin would get married.
Macaroni and cheese? Are you kidding me?
It's not I'm right there with him.
Perfect food.
I'd take that over any wedding reception I've had to go to.
Yeah, well, you're both retarded.
Yes.
They did have a wedding cake, but unfortunately for the guests, it was made out of cardboard, as wedding planners didn't have time to get a real one. This was a upscale event.
How long does it take to get a wedding cake?
I guess it depends on how big you want it. I mean, it takes a while to bake those. You got to bake the different,
the layers,
and put it all together. Huh. So if this was a last-minute deal, they probably just said, oh, we'll get a prop cake.
But wouldn't going to Safeway and getting a regular cake have been better than a cardboard cake?
It's where they got all the other food.
Better than jelly donut holes.
Yeah.
Awful.
No, let's not get crazy.
So, yeah. Good times. Anderson-Solomon event.
Yeah.
Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs has finally admitted that he did indeed father a baby with a woman named Sarah Chapman. He has been denying the paternity of this child for 15 months now. But DNA testing has come in, and it confirms that it is his baby. The little girl, named Chance, was born only months before Kim Porter gave birth to his twin girls. This is Diddy's fifth biological child that we know of.
So, Chance is a great name.
Yeah, if you don't know who the dad is.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a great name.
Take a chance.
I think it's you?
Ralph, I did not see this story. Did they settle it on Montel Williams as it needs to be?
Yeah, Maury Povich did, actually.
Oh, was it Maury? Okay,
yeah,
good.
Maury actually is. And you are the baby's father!
My favorite is when they bring, like, eight guys in a row and none of them are.
Yeah.
The woman's I'm positive.
And the black folk are falling over in the chair. Like, oh no, you did it! It's like Showtime with the Apollo.
It's
people
really
clapping
good.
And screaming and falling on each other. It's very entertaining.
That's some great TV.
Diddy says he will take care of the baby for the rest of her life. Well, except for that first 15 months part.
Sure, that part, yeah.
When I denied her existence.
Right. And he's already worked out visitation and child support issues, they claim. So, it's quite the deal.
Is he going to hire that out, or is he going to do that?
I think he'll do that.
Okay.
Oh, those blacks.
Shocking news. Someone reportedly broke into Britney Spears' Malibu home and stole a lot of her private sex tapes and racy photos.
Oh, no.
However, they were all made in the past 2 years, so they're worthless.
Oh, no. No, they weren't when she was hot?
I have no idea. That was the joke part of the story.
Oh, I so wish.
Jennifer Garner has learned a valuable lesson about her husband's career with former flames.
Uh-oh.
She says she will never star in a movie with Ben.
Because he's a bad actor?
No, because she claims it's because she doesn't want their daughter Violet to be neglected. One parent has to be not working at all times. However, I believe you could break it down into two words. Gilly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to go through that again.
He also, let's not forget, made a movie with Gwyneth Paltrow that was a huge, big stinker, too.
Well, because Gwyneth Paltrow was in it.
Yeah.
Well, she's
no way around
actress,
that.
But I'm saying the two of them together, for some reason, she's right that Ben works with girlfriend equals giant stiff.
Yeah. And Jersey Girl, too, not to attack our friend Kevin Smith. But you know, I love the celebrity fears. Billy Bob Thornton, you know, is a paranoid fear of Komodo dragons.
Sure. Don't we all?
Yeah. We often talked about the fact that Nicole Kidman is deathly afraid of butterflies.
Yes.
But this is my favorite ever. Michael Douglas has revealed he's scared of women with hairy armpits.
Oh, we all are.
Men, Dale!
Told the British tabloid The London Sun that apparently it all stems from a summer he spent as a water skiing instructor, and one of his students was a woman from Eastern Europe who apparently did not feel any sort of responsibility to shave under there.
Right.
He said the experience was such a shock that it still sticks in his mind and gives him the willies. There's just some things in life you never get over. Lindsay Lohan has found a new way to work on her addiction. According to In Touch Weekly magazine, she has started dancing lessons.
Okay.
I was going to guess drinking was my guess.
No, that is a good way to do it.
Dancing lessons.
Apparently the tango has helped her dance her way out of addiction, they claim.
But I thought it took two to tango.
Oh, dear God.
What?
He's so happy for himself.
I know, exactly.
Just saying.
This is the thrilling part of the day for him when he can make a horrible pun. He's got, he must have a big chalkboard behind him. He just puts another little hash mark, you know, he just keeps count of them.
Wait, hold on. Do or don't fear the Reaper?
Here's another reason I like Heidi Montag to get a face full of acid.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Apparently, she really likes her. TMZ.com's got a story about Heidi pulling over recently at a newsstand and buying 20 copies of the new Cosmo Girl magazine. Guess who was on the cover of the magazine?
Her?
Yeah, her.
Why don't you have a friend do that or something?
I mean, don't you have people, somebody?
I don't know, it just seems like you'd
get a homeless guy. Here, I'll give you $50 if you go buy 20 copies of this magazine for me. You can keep the change. You don't do that.
Isn't it shocking to you, by the way, that Cosmo Girl thinks that they'll sell copies of that issue because Heidi Montag is on the cover?
I'm sure they will.
They sold 20.
With the success. Yes, true. They knew she'd buy them all up. I mean, The Hills is a very popular show.
Yeah.
Cosmo Girl's aimed towards teenage girls, so it makes all makes sense.
One of the, I don't know if Stuff or Maxim, one of those had the girls from The Hills in, and they all look pretty good in that magazine.
Well, you know, they dress them up and airbrush them.
You don't have to hear them. Right. You don't have to listen.
Exactly. Ah, it's good to be Gary Sinise. You guys watch that CSI Miami? CSI New York with him on it?
I do not.
I don't know. He's a great actor.
He's real good. It's my second favorite after, of course, the original. I think it's real good. CBS has just signed him to a deal which would keep him on CSI New York through the year 2010.
Nice. Wow.
Daily Variety magazine says he will be pulling down a salary of $5 million a year.
All right, then.
Pretty strong.
Yeah.
But well worth it. He's excellent. Nine Inch Nails is the latest major group to sever all ties with its record label. Trent Reznor posted on his official website yesterday that after 18 years of working for TVT and Interscope, he's a free agent. Trent says he'll let the fans know what's next for Nine Inch Nails, so stay tuned. But they don't have a label for the first time in 18 years.
Wow.
Maybe they'll go the Radiohead route and just start releasing their own stuff.
Giving it away for free?
Well, I don't know about that. And finally, someone with some sense is bringing art back to the cinema. A Boston artist is attempting to bring back smell-o-vision, a concept which permeates aromas in movie theaters during movies with various smelly scenes. He's trying to find the smelliest movies he can work on for the new experiment, so he's picked all the Dane Cook movies.
I don't think...
Because they stink. Woo!
Woo-hoo-hoo! I don't think they're just looking for bad movies.
Woo!
We'll be thankful this is television and not smell-o-vision.
Indeed. Did you guys see Heroes last night?
Oh, I did. Yes.
Oh,
good. Maybe one of the best episodes
Absolutely.
Ever.
Absolutely. Wow. Maybe one of the best
Phenomenal
episodes.
Phenomenal
episode. Freaking awesome. Freaking awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah. Freaking awesome.
And by the way, your little Hayden Panettiere, quite a little actress, isn't she?
She is. She really is. And her first love scene. Her first Heroes love scene last night. With a boy who can fly. Who's very Superman Lois Lane.
Oh, yeah. That kid at school?
Yeah. Her and West are finally an item.
Mike threw up a little bit in his mouth there because he hates to see a guy making out with a girl.
I know. It's so foreign to him.
Upsetting to him.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
They're on the beach there. Doing that.
He's not a very good actor, by the way.
No, he's a little over the top.
Yeah.
But he can fly, so he's got that going for him. I mean, you got to think about it. How hard is it to find a guy, first of all, who can fly and then who's a good actor? I think they really lucked out. I mean, he's marginal, but he's got flying.
Sure.
See that casting call. I need an actor who can fly. Not a lot of guys show up for that guest.
Line up right here. Everybody line up.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Sharon Osbourne, our old pal, turns 55 years old today. Tony Shalhoub, the actor who plays Monk on the TV series Monk, is 54. Scott Bakula, who was in Quantum Leap and Star Trek Enterprise, 53 years old today. Sean Lennon, son of John Lennon, is 32 years old today. And John O'Hurley.
John O'Hurley, he can dance.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Elaine. He is 57 years old today, and I think he's still starring in Spamalot.
Yeah, he is.
In Vegas. So if you get a chance, if you're in Vegas sometime soon, you should check it out. It's a very funny show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I found a news article that starts, Happy New Year. Ethiopia celebrates the millennium 7 years late. And I was trying to figure out what the hell. They use a different calendar called a Coptic calendar. And it's 7 years behind ours. So they just had their New Year's Eve 1999 celebration.
No kidding.
Like less than a month ago.
Wow. That's bizarre.
Maybe that's just one of many problems they've got going on in Ethiopia. Maybe that's one reason why Ethiopia isn't the country we all aspire to live in.
There are plastic bowls, key rings, vases of plastic flowers, all stamped with 2000 on it because they just celebrated.
That's bizarre.
I've never heard of anything like that.
Possibly works. So we asked Lightning to line somebody up for us in the country of Ethiopia. Again, just getting into the year 2000 out there in Ethiopia. Good morning, Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello, who's this?
This is Kevin and Bean.
Oh, I can't believe the phones are working. I thought for sure Y2K would knock out the whole system. This is great. Well, the phones are working. The phone's working now. Oh, that's great news. Well, what was that little music there?
Sorry about that. We got a Y2K problem on this end, too. Y2K, they solved that 7 years ago. You're just now hearing about it, but that turned out not to be anything.
Well, it is 2000 now. It is 2000 now, so it is a problem here in our country.
It is?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Many of the computers do not work here. Largely because we only have one Commodore 64.
Yeah, you guys got to upgrade.
And it's filled with sand.
Well, that's not good.
That's why it's not working.
So was it a big party, a huge blowout in your country as you celebrate the new millennium?
We had so much fun here. It was a credible party.
Uh-huh.
We were a little disappointed, though. Some of our guests did not come. Oh. We invited Anna Nicole Smith to be our special guest appearance star.
Yeah.
And she did not show up to the party, insulting all of our tribesmen.
Well, she's not as available as before.
Do you have any more questions?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
I was just wondering if there's anything.
That was a short bit then.
No, I was wondering if there were. I think we were expecting maybe there were some other guests that you had invited that put a damper on the party.
Oh, no, that was the only one.
Bean has Asperger's syndrome. And,
nope.
Yep.
Nope. If you go to krock.com, go to the Kevin and Bean page, you can go to sounds, and you can click on a quiz that you can take to see if you have it or not. And Bean got a 41 out of 50, and 34 is considered extreme. So, but he says no.
Because I don't have it.
Right, of course.
Regardless of what Lisa tries to say, I don't have it.
Oh, but what about the...
Except for every single piece of evidence that points out that you do.
What about the quiz, though? How can you look at the quiz and say, I scored a 41 out of 50, and an extreme is considered 34, and I don't have it?
That's just a quiz. That's not official. That's not medical professionals.
All
that's
right.
Just some guy with a quiz.
Should we send you to a medical professional to actually determine that?
I would be happy to go if I thought there was a 1% chance that I have Asperger's. I just don't. I'm just 100% completely normal.
Right,
I just
of course
don't
you
have
are.
Anything like that.
If anyone's 100% completely normal,
I don't
it's
have
you.
Anything like that.
You're the model of normalcy. When people think normal, they point to Bean.
See, the problem is that Bean hears autistic. And he has a very
definite picture of what autistic is. I agree.
Yes, because
that's
you
not
said
the part
before,
that bothers me.
I'm not autistic.
No, because I don't think I have any of the traits that go along with any kind of autism, including Asperger's. It's not that I have anything against it. Look, I wouldn't mind that label being put on me if I thought it were accurate, but I don't believe it is.
So you don't think that any of those questions in the quiz were applied to you, or you think the whole quiz is
even
wrong?
Though you answered them yes, every one of them.
I'm just suspect of the quiz. That's all. I'm just saying.
I think we need an expert.
Because it's dead on? Is that why? We're going to get an Asperger's expert. That's
really
what we'll do.
Because one of the things the quiz says is that I have no appreciation for my audience when I speak. And we all know that's not true.
That's one of the main things.
I finally tune my remarks to the room in front of me.
That's one of the main things that shows Asperger's is that the guy has no clue, like, who's receiving what he's saying. And a lot of times it says in the explanation, they'll start talking about insignificant stuff. They'll talk about it forever, and they won't notice that the other person is uncomfortable by this or doesn't like the conversation or is trying to get out of the conversation. They don't have any clue as to that.
I am nothing if not tight-lipped.
Is denial part of Asperger's?
It isn't.
Is that part of it? It should be.
But if you're going to make us get an expert, we will. Dr. Drew, by the way, who Bean thinks is accurate on everything, also
he's the smartest man in the world.
Also says he has Asperger's.
Yeah, but what does he know?
So we've been keeping track of random things that Bean says for quite some time, not even realizing that it came out of the syndrome, Asperger's syndrome.
These are the comments he laser focuses to us because he knows his audience.
Because he's super, super familiar with what the people who are listening want to hear.
Very aware of
our interests. Well, sue a guy for trying to make pleasant chit-chat at work.
Oh,
and we call it...
don't backpedal down, mister.
Thanks for that info bean.
But didn't we just do thanks for that info bean recently?
Yes!
And then you tried to stop doing what we say you do, and you failed miserably because you don't get it.
Then why? Because I've got a whole batch of new stuff that you said during the commercials or the songs that the listeners couldn't hear that you were talking to us about. And there's no possible way we could give you the message clearer that we weren't interested.
Okay, let's go.
Like what?
I write these down word for word, by the way. I sit over there. When Bean says them, I write them down so I know exactly what's said, and I write down what the responses were of anyone in the room.
All right.
I called the county animal control yesterday. No one said anything. I saw a couple of ostriches. No one said anything. Didn't look like they were well cared for. No one said anything.
How is that any different than anybody else coming in and talking about stuff they did over the weekend?
No one said anything. Because the rest of us have stuff that people relate to.
I went to a concert. I went to a sporting event. Not I called the animal control because I saw ostriches that I thought weren't being well cared for.
But I think if you had done that, you might bring it up.
No.
How do you even know if an ostrich is well cared for?
They looked rugged.
So there was a long, long pause. And then Lisa says, and I wrote down exactly what happened. Because Lisa's just, well, see, when Bean throws that stuff out.
Like that forever.
When Bean throws that stuff out there, it begs, and this is the part that's annoying. It forces you into a conversation that you don't want to have any part of because you feel bad that there's silence when he's clearly expecting you to respond.
It hangs in the air.
Right. So we all, that's what Doc does, by the way. He walks into the room. He says stuff, and you have to go, all right, Doc, what are you talking about? I don't understand what you just said. So that's what Bean does. And Lisa's the nicest one, and she can't just leave it there. So she says, and I quote, that's strange. And then I wrote down, everyone yelled at Lisa for encouraging Bean.
It was bloody.
Lisa's also an animal lover and was probably had
she
concerns.
She was not interested in that story.
She may have been interested in how the ostriches were being treated. It turned out they were just molting, by the way, which is why they
were so they were just molting.
I did the follow-up call, too.
Okay.
There's but another one. Not, word for
there's
word.
There's more?
And this is the
yeah,
other,
there's more.
This is the other thing that Bean loves to do, is to ask the unanswerable question.
These
questions, by their nature, there's no answer to it. And so, but he'll ask it and just let it hang out there as if someone's going to go, well, because why are Altoids so good? And what? But, I mean, the bottom line there is you're eating an Altoid, right? Probably.
But or you're everybody loves Altoids.
No.
But see, no one's having a conversation about like candy or breath mints or whatever that tastes good or bad. There's no context to this. It's just you come out of nowhere with that.
Isn't there part of you
that... What do you want us to say?
I want somebody to explain to me what makes them so curiously strong.
That's not what you said. You said, why are they so good?
You know we can't answer that question.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
I don't know what context this was in, but Bean quoted Miss Piggy. Never eat more than you can lift. Do you remember what that was about, Lisa?
I don't. That one.
If that thought came to you right now, Bean, would you think, you know, Lisa and Kevin and Mike, the only ones in the room right now, probably wouldn't be interested in this, so I'm just going to keep it to myself.
I thought it was good advice. That's all. Just trying to share.
Because we often eat more than we can lift.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
I sure like postcards.
Oh,
I remember that one.
And then I wrote nothing because nobody responded. Bean left it out there hanging, demanding some kind of a, wow, what do you like about them? Or some kind of answer. No one said a word. I was so happy with Lisa. She just sat there in stony silence.
Bit my tongue.
And what does Bean do? Move on to something else? No, he follows it up with, I just ordered a box of 100.
Thanks for that info,
Bean.
This is all the stuff we have to listen to during the commercials and songs.
Well, maybe I won't be sending any of those to you guys.
The first Christmas CD of the year comes out today.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
By the way, that wasn't today. He said that about a month ago or whenever it was.
You guys know I love Christmas music. I collect Christmas music.
You know we don't care.
But it's exciting for me when the holiday releases start coming out into the stores. That's all, because I look forward to that every year.
Here's the thing with the Asperger's, though. You don't understand that not only don't we care, we're super annoyed by your conversation. Annoyed. Is that what you're trying to accomplish, Bean?
No, certainly not.
Then shut the F up.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
You guys are going to be so jealous. Now, is there a question that begs, what are we going to be jealous about? Like, it's not, if he says that, he has to get a response.
And do we know going in there's no way we're going to be jealous?
Of course.
Yes.
So no one says anything. And then Bean says, I'm taking Maryland crab cakes out of my freezer right now.
Now, in my defense,
nobody responded.
We do have a long history of trying to burn the other guy with how much better your food is than my food, right? I mean, we do that.
No, we always do that. No, we don't. You do it.
You don't know how to do it because you don't involve food that anyone else would want.
Especially at 7 in the morning.
Lisa May, I'm having Mountain Dew and Choco Dial right now. How jealous are you?
So he says, you guys are going to be so jealous. We don't answer. He says, I'm taking Maryland crab cakes out of my freezer right now. Nothing. He follows that up. All that silence, which apparently for him is a sign to keep on going. Big green light. I'm going to eat it after the show. Nothing. Nothing. And then stupid Psycho Mike says, I like crab cakes. and we yell at Mike because now Mike's encouraging him.
Thanks for that info, B.
Here's another unanswerable question. Why do I like Bruce Springsteen so much? Well, there's no way to say why you like him. You just do. It's subjective. What do you want us to say? But what do you want us to say?
That's why you like him. We can't tell you why you like him.
I may have been thinking out loud that time.
Thanks for that info, B.
Two more. One is the unanswerable question again. Why am I so hungry? I mean, what kind of conversation is that? So, but this is the best. This is my favorite because this truly shows that Bean has no way of screening important information from completely just ridiculous minutia that doesn't matter to a single soul. And by the way, this he interrupted another conversation to do. Psycho Mike and I were talking about K-Fed and Britney.
Yeah.
And we were talking about his latest song where he's, you know, the kids and stuff. So we're talking about that, and Bean interrupts. I wrote it down specifically. Bean interrupts. Let me tell you what else is cool about my microwave. Okay? No one's talking about microwaves. We're actually talking about the show. We're talking about Psycho Mike's new song about K-Fed and Britney, and the kids are being taken away. We're focusing on something else. Let me tell you what else is cool about my microwave, as if we remember the last time he was talking about his goddamn microwave.
Well, it's got that that reheat function that's so awesome.
So
you don't have to
Psycho
put any
Mike
time in it. It just
continue.
Automatically...
Thanks for that info, Bean.
See, I always hope that you're going to get the point that we don't enjoy this conversation from this. But for some reason, my words, they end up in your ears as I'm doing good conversation. I'm a good conversationalist. That's
well,
what you
sounded like
you'd
this. Forgotten why my microwave ruled.
I don't care.
I was just trying to refresh your memory.
I don't care if your microwave is the best microwave in the world. How does
it
that
is.
Affect me in any way?
Because one day you can aspire to have a microwave as cool as mine.
So he says, let me tell you what else is cool about my microwave. Psycho Mike and I continue talking about the K-Fed song. So we're now ignoring him and going back to our original conversation. And Bean says, when my food is finished, the word on the screen says, enjoy.
Yay!
Oh, Bean.
That's just a nice touch.
And then Psycho Mike says, I hate you, Bean.
As he should.
I just appreciate the time and effort somebody put into that added touch at the end of
that info beam.
The end of microwave.
Do you honestly think that your microwave says enjoy? That's conversation. That to you is something that should be discussed.
I enjoy that personal touch.
Okay.
It's so easy to have nameless, faceless electronics.
We don't want you to talk to us about anything. You don't have the ability to connect with any human being level.
I should just be talking to the microwave. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes! Call Doc. He's the only other person that can converse with you.
Thanks for that info, B.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday. The fascination with whether Jennifer Lopez is pregnant or not. The tabloids are on fire. It seems like it's World War III the way they're covering this thing. They suspect there's so much interest in whether she's with child or not that they won't stop talking about it.
Yeah, and we don't – I mean, we understand a lot of the celebrity appeal. We do a lot of stuff on celebrities on the show, but the whole pregnant thing is it because we're guys?
I don't know. I think – well, I was thinking that maybe there's very little that these people do that we can really identify with. They have so much money and their lives are so privileged. But being pregnant is a universal experience for women.
Right.
So maybe this is like the one thing that all the women who pick up the tabloids and stuff can identify with.
But I don't want to hear what Jennifer Lopez has to say about her pregnancy any more than I want to hear what any other woman has to say about her pregnancy. I mean, who
cares if
she's
Well, it may not be
pregnant?
For you, Bean.
Just go away and have your baby.
It's not for you.
It's not for you.
Well, I guess we're falling into the same trap because we've got our own source inside the J-Lo camp we haven't checked in with for a while. We thought we might as well. You know, now that everybody's talking about whether she's pregnant, is she or isn't she, we thought we'd check in with J-Lo's ass, who we have on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Good morning, J-Lo's ass.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Long time.
To you in a long time.
What have you been up to?
Not much. How you doing?
Well, we're good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
We're reading a lot of stories in the tabloids about Jennifer being pregnant. Can you confirm?
I can neither confirm nor deny
really?
At this point.
Okay. You don't know?
Yeah, she's pregnant.
All right.
Wow.
I don't feel the need to protect her anymore after what she's put me through.
What are you talking about? Put you through? Yeah, I thought this was the apartment next door that has to deal with the babies. That's not you.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, I have nothing to do with the actual birth.
Right.
But I'm the one who takes all the beating over this, you know?
take all the beating?
Yeah, she's doing the in vitro fertilization.
Oh.
And I don't know how much you know about this, but when that happens, the woman in the relationship, which is a coin toss, really, in this one, has to get injected with this fertility drug.
Okay.
You got to take the hypodermic needle and you got to inject it.
In the ass.
And they choose to do it in the, well, where she's got the most surface volume.
Yeah,
you know?
I see.
And that's hundreds of shots, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
And even in an ass my size, you can run out of room after a while and then start to double up in spots and you get very sore.
Wow.
I haven't been this sore since she dated P. Diddy.
For different reasons, I'm guessing.
Yeah, different areas, you know.
Sure.
That
was
more centralized.
Right.
Yeah. More towards my eye. I'd get poked in the eye
right.
a lot.
Right, right.
This is more my fleshy region.
Yeah, that's just nice.
It makes it hard to sit down, you know.
Now, this may be something you can't answer, J-Lo's asked, but why is she being so coy about it? I mean, she's on stage at Madison Square Garden at that concert the other night, and she stopped the show. Hey, I've got a big announcement for you, and everybody's anticipating. She's going to say, hey, I'm pregnant, and she says, it's great to be here in New York, or whatever it was she said.
Yeah.
She's playing with people about the announcement.
She is. She likes to F with people.
Yeah.
That's Jenny's way. Because she's a kidder, you know? She's just Jenny from the block.
I hear that's true, yeah.
And that's why she gets along with Mark Anthony, because he's just an average homeboy.
I see. You kind of sound like that guy, actually. So,
this bit's mostly for us today,
I think. It is, really. Yeah. We're just cracking each other up.
Yeah, now, it's a lot like that.
What about the...
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
what happened?
I had to clear my throat. Sorry about that.
What about...
Ah, that's better. Okay.
What about the rumors that it's twins? What about that rumor?
Yeah, she does have twins.
She does.
Oh,
okay.
How about that?
And I volunteered to carry one in each of my cheeks, you know?
Wow, that was nice.
Because, you know, let's face it, she's a professional performer.
Right.
Her appearance is everything, with the movies and the concerts and whatnot. If I were to carry the children to full term, no one would notice.
That's true.
I could carry a baby in each cheek and they'd say, yeah, that's J-Lo's ass.
That's
but if she
point.
Carries it in her front area... Then she's going to be, you know, she's going to get the fupa.
How does the conversation between you and her happen?
First thing in the morning, I say to Jenny,
right?
And she says, yeah, okay, I could see that. And I say, but what about this?
I don't like to think about J-Lo like this at all.
And then she says, not so much, not today. And I say,
which is that angry?
Lay off the Taco Bell. I'm getting chafed. I'm getting windburned out here. Know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do, unfortunately.
J-Lo's ass? J-Lo's ass? You alright? Dude? You okay?
The record. Oops, somebody's alarm just went off. Hello?
My alarm just went off.
Ralph Garman, before we get into the showbiz beat, did you see Tony Romo try to throw the game last night and still end up winning?
I'll tell you, everyone was saying it was Romo's fault, but Dick Girard did a great job with the defense because the Dallas is mostly a timing defense. Guys
right.
get
mm-hmm.
they throw to spots. They don't throw to receivers.
Right.
And he did his homework. He was doing a lot of stuff with like standing up linebackers and stuff. Very creative sort of defense, doing the best he could against
an interception or two. Five?
Well, look.
Five.
Romo didn't have a great game, but a lot of that was the coverage and the defense. He did a great job.
That's
my
point.
Thinking is, after seeing that against what can be done against the Cowboys, if Dick Geron can do that, Belichick is just going to eat him
gonna
up
destroy
next
him.
Week.
Yeah.
He's just going to eat him up.
Yeah,
how
that's going to be the game.
How about that rookie kicker last night, though? They hit 253-yarders in a row.
Stones, man. Just
at the end of the
just
game.
Just stones. Got to give it up.
The craziest thing is after the interview him after the game, he's like, yeah, it's just trying to do the same thing twice, you know. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I mean, he wasn't even at all like jacked up or juiced
inside. He was going screaming.
That dude could get laid even in Buffalo last night. That guy could have found a woman as cool as he was out on the field under pressure. That's for sure. All right, it's 6:52 Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Oh, the details about Britney Spears just keep coming and coming.
Yeah,
and they get better and better.
TMZ.com, of course, our entertainment news website of record, has some great stories this week about Britney. First of all, did you see the video of her and her sister walking through Malibu? Yeah.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, dude, that was rough.
She's walking through Malibu with her sister, Jamie Lynn Spears.
Right.
And the photographers are surrounding them, taking photos. And a local resident starts screaming, "We don't want you in our neighborhood. Get out of here.
Oh, man.
Get out of the neighborhood. We don't want you here."
Nice.
And Britney just looks like a scared meerkat. And Jamie Lynn wheels around and starts screaming at the woman who's screaming at her sister's end, "Then why don't you effing move?" And I said, "You kiss your mother with that mouth?" 14-year-old Jamie Lynn Spears, whatever the F you are. Baseball acid for both of them. Anyway, last week, Britney's first visit with her children came last Thursday.
Okay.
Never heard about this.
After she gave them up, right?
After she gave them up.
Right.
So she is waiting there at home. And about 10 minutes prior to the arrival of her kids, around 10 a.m., she had had a phone conversation with the people who were bringing them over. And so the kids arrive at the front door. However, they have a parenting coach with them. Parenting coach is in tow with the children who were being dropped off there to work with Britney along lines of the court order.
The court made that happen?
Right.
Okay.
That sounds like good advice. Maybe somebody to tell Britney, don't do drugs in front of the kids or walk around naked.
Exactly. Anyway, she decides she doesn't want anything to do with anyone who's going to try to tell her how to be a parent.
That's working out well for her.
So they start ringing the buzzer at 10 a.m. Thursday morning, and she decides not to answer.
Her kids were with her?
And her kids start to cry in front of her house.
Oh.
They're standing there, the parent coach, K-Fed's bodyguard. The two kids are waiting for 40 minutes outside of her home. They know she's
40
inside.
40 minutes?
40 minutes they keep ringing the buzzer until finally they just cut bait and take off because she's not answering the door.
So she'd rather not see her children
than be told, than have someone tell her what to do, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Wow. Wow.
That's how to make visitation end, I'll tell you that.
Then she leaves her home and checks into the Viceroy Hotel in Santa Monica after this, later that Thursday. Everyone's talking about, why is she checking into a hotel? Because she just wanted to get out of her house, apparently.
Just in case they come back.
Maybe. So she keep avoiding her kids. So she checks in Thursday to the Viceroy, and around 10:30 p.m., she goes downstairs and hangs out in the bar. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
She's talking to a bartender, female bartender behind the bar, and they're having a chat. And she suddenly says, "I want to do what you do." And, according to TMZ.com, she asked the manager for an application to work at the hotel's bar as a bartender.
To get an actual job there? Not
yes.
Just do it for the night?
The application is currently with Human Resources, according to sources. And they haven't decided whether they're going to hire her as a bartender or not. But she said she wants a job as a bartender.
She's crazy.
Yeah.
She's crazy.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do is put her behind the bar so she can have everything she wants to drink.
Put her behind bars, but not behind a bar.
She's not qualified to be a bartender.
No.
But that place would be packed.
Yeah, but she'd be drinking all the booze.
Well, there's that.
You'd have to wait 4 hours to get a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, Britney said she wanted a job as a bartender because no one was hiring whores that day. So that's your latest Britney's crazy update.
Wow.
These girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
Nutty stuff. Speaking of actresses and singers with substance abuse problems, after 63 days in rehab, Access Hollywood is reporting that Lindsay Lohan already has her next movie gig.
Really?
How about that? Everyone said she'd be unemployable after this.
Yeah.
But apparently she's back in Los Angeles. She begins filming her next movie, Dare to Love Me, next Monday.
She's a decent actress. But
she is.
The whole thing was insurance, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, they figured she would never, you couldn't, you know, ensure that she would be able to complete a project because you never know when she would fall off the wagon. But apparently someone's willing to take a risk. Dare to Love Me is the name of it.
Now, the one thing I will say, Ralph, and please correct me if I'm wrong on this, is every film set in Hollywood has an AA presence. There are always people there. There are always meetings. There is always help available for people in the business, right?
Sure.
In some ways, maybe that's safer than being out on her own with a lot of time to kill.
Look, I'm sure there will be conditions to her employment where she'll have to have a wrangler or something that the studio assigns to her who's going to have to keep an eye on her. But yeah. I'm surprised she's working at all, especially this quickly. So
yeah.
It's good news for
these
her.
These girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
You familiar with Blender, the magazine Blender?
Yeah, the music one, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great music magazine. They have some funny lists sometimes, including today they've released their list for the top 50 worst lyricists in music.
Oh, wow.
People who write the worst lyrics in rock and roll history. Some great, great choices. I'll just give you some highlights. Number 38 is Paul McCartney.
Sure.
Yeah.
I thought he'd rank higher, but I guess you got to give him all those Beatle years. You got to give him a pass for doing all that good work before he started doing all the crappy work.
He was at number 2 before he did Freedom.
Yeah.
And then he dropped right to 38.
They say, thanks in part to Ebony and Ivory.
Sure.
His duet with Stevie Wonder has earned him one of the worst lyricists of all time. Moving up the ranks, Carly Simon. She wrote a song called You're So Vain.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
that
song? The song, she rhymes yacht, apricot, and gavotte in the same line. They said that earned her 31 on the list.
All right.
Led Zeppelin frontman Robert Plant earned number 23 on the list because he started musing on Gollum and Mordor in Ramble On. They said no Tolkien-esque references ever, please. Thank you. And the top five, Dan Fogelberg, soft rock singer Dan Fogelberg's number 5. Number 4, Oasis guitarist Noel Gallagher. They say he is seemingly incapable of following a metaphor through a single line, let alone a whole verse. Number 3, Scott Stapp from Creed.
Yeah.
Yes. Some of the worst lyrics ever.
Yeah.
Number 2, Neil Peart of Rush. If you've ever heard Rush's lyrics, you might have to agree. They say it's a richly awful tapestry of fantasy and science. And number 1, worst lyricist of all time, Sting of the Police. Sting.
Really?
Yeah. He said, you don't need to drop the name of Russian novelist Vladimir Nabokov in your songs or steal from Chaucer, St. Augustine, and Shakespeare. So they're saying he's the worst lyricist in music history.
Wow. It's quite an honor.
It is. He was unavailable for comment, apparently.
What a surprise.
Today's celebrity birthday.
Haven't heard the new Kid Rock album, I guess.
I guess not. They can put him on the list. He must be on there somewhere. Sean Lennon. 32 years old today, of course, the son of legendary rock star John Lennon. John O'Hurley, dances with the stars sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes he's on stage in Spamalot in Vegas. 53. Scott Bakula is 53 as well. Tony Shalhoub turns 54. Sharon Osbourne is 55. And Michael Paré. You may remember this actor best as Eddie from Eddie and the Cruisers. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Then the sequel, Eddie Lives.
Oh,
I always thought that was kind of a giveaway for a movie.
You think?
Yeah, I don't know if you really wanted to tell people that
he
going into it. Yeah, yeah.
He was the next big thing for a little while, wasn't he?
He was supposed to be the next Richard Gere. I mean, he was going to be the next big heartthrob. He was it. And now he's 48 years old, and I think he is the actual bartender of the Viceroy
Hotel. Is that right?
Yeah, I think you can find him there.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
These stories have been coming fast and furiously, and it really seems odd to me that for some reason right now, everyone seems to be too hot to travel. You know
really?
What I mean?
Like, what's up with Southwest Airlines, by the way? It's 150 freaking degrees outside, and they're making every woman who gets on board wrap themselves in a blanket or something.
Not every woman, but the women who have been singled out. There's two of them on Southwest Airlines, Kyla Ebert. And by the way, we love Southwest. We take it.
Yeah, they're great.
All day, every day.
Sure.
Kyla Ebert was the first woman, and then there was another woman. The first one, they said she was too hot. You can't fly like this because I guess her skirt was too short, I think.
That's what they were saying, yeah.
So
although we saw a photo.
Yeah, we saw a photo, and it looked like it was short, but certainly
not. Crazy short.
Yeah.
Not Britney Spears short.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't something that would have captured your attention if you'd seen this woman on the street or in the mall or in the airport. It looked like a regular woman wearing regular clothes. She wasn't dressed up like a stripper.
Yeah.
And the second woman was named Satara Kasim, and I saw her. She's the one that they made wrap up in a blanket. It was like a 105 degree day. I think she's going to Vegas to, I don't know, Tucson or someplace like that. And they said, "Do you have a sweater?" And she said, "No, it's 100 degrees." And they made her cover up with a blanket.
Now, did you see what she was wearing?
Yes. And, first of all, wow. But second of all, rackalicious. But third of all, not a lot of cleavage showing.
Really?
No. I mean,
not at
just
all.
Kind of, I think it was just kind of a tight sweater situation. I don't know. I really don't know.
Wow.
There are people, and by the way, we're going to take calls if you've ever been asked to go home or change because you're too hot, ladies. 1-800-520-1067.
Some people call it too slutty. We call it too hot. We think that these people should get extra points on Southwest Airlines.
I will tell you, by the way, that it's slightly different, but when I was at the Vatican last month, they have a very strict dress code in terms of what women can wear, not being able to have their shoulders exposed, for instance.
What about what little boys can wear?
Oh, Lisa.
Just asking.
Nothing. They're allowed to wear nothing.
They're encouraged to wear something sexy, Lisa.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, that's coming. I mean, that's going into, you know, the Pope's house, and that's for religious reasons. That's not what we're talking about here on Southwest Airlines. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. I don't think there's a passenger that would have complained about either of these women and what they were wearing. But clearly, the flight attendant, and this is the other thing that's frustrating a lot of people, is there's no posted dress code at Southwest Airlines. It's up to each individual flight attendant to decide whether somebody is dressed appropriately or needs to be covered up or not.
Right, and everybody has different levels of what that is.
Right.
And that's what seems absurd to us. And it's not just Southwest Airlines either. There's a bus where a woman was asked to get off because she was too provocatively dressed. Well, how did we as a society start going backwards? What's happening here?
Oh, we're going backwards in lots of ways.
But for God's sakes, we should be giving these people cash bonuses on the spot.
And I'm going to tell you something else, by the way, that is completely unfair, and that is, and you mentioned that second flyer, by the way, who was rackalicious. People are extremely uncomfortable by women with large breasts. They really are. People get, I mean, even if you're wearing something that covers it up, if it's tight and there's too much boob there in front of you, people, for some reason, wig out over that.
And if you have large breasts, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, there are women with big enough breasts that it doesn't matter what they wear, they have cleavage.
Right, of course.
It's right up to their neck.
But again, if you look up these stories online, every single one, you go, really?
It's not obvious to us.
It's not
way Pam over Anderson the top. In the bikini. Let's face it.
It's not way over the top. That's the part that's pretty frustrating because you go, well, how's that person too hot to fly? So we want people who have been told to go home, and I'd also like to talk to people who have done the telling.
Oh, interesting.
And anyone from Southwest Airlines, an airline we love, who would like to call in anonymously and tell us what's going on there.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee, especially any place with a family environment, like I guarantee at Disneyland, for instance, they have to ask people to cover up or change, right? I'm sure that happens.
I guess.
But it's always up to just that person's, his interpretation of what the appropriate dress is or not. So 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Jennifer in Brea. She's on line one. As you know, Kevin, all Jennifers are hot. That's one thing we've learned from doing this show.
That's correct.
So I'm on Jennifer's side, whatever her story is, but let's hear it anyway. Good morning, Jen.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, what happened?
Okay, so I worked at Bank of America in Brea, and they actually sent me home because my shirt was cut too low, but I work in a call center. No one even looks at us.
That's what you think.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it was really crazy.
What? The customers don't even see you.
I don't know. The manager just... You know, she was a girl, so she was just, that's too low, go home. And I was like, there's nobody here.
Yeah.
Wow.
I want to call your call center now.
What is everyone else that works there supposed to look at, for God's sakes, if you go home and change?
I don't know.
Oh, dear God.
Now, Jennifer, obviously when you walked out of the house, you didn't think it was too low. What do you think, what's the discrepancy here? What was her problem? How much boob were you showing?
Just... like a medium amount. No, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, you know.
It was average for you, right? I mean, it wasn't exceptional.
Yeah, like regular, you know, you see girls walking out in the street, like just the normal. And, you know, she just came over. We have our own little cubicle. I mean, who's going to see, you know? And she just came over and she's like, what are you wearing? Like, you have to go home. And I was like, are you serious? So,
no, she should have thought about that before she was fat, shouldn't she?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jennifer, for the call.
How did that girl get a job at a bank, by the way? I'm just saying.
She sounds good on the phone. She was in the call center. That's all you need,
right? She sounds fantastic on the phone. But I'm going to instantly forget whatever I was calling about when she picks up. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike in San Clemente. Good morning, Mike.
How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good.
You on Lisa May?
Hi, Mike.
Tell us about your friend.
We were coming back from Vegas on our way back into Orange County, and my buddy from Scotland was visiting, so he was wearing his Scottish kilt. And the stewardess, before we get on the plane, came up to him and said that if she didn't take it off, he wasn't going to fly. And since he was drunk, he definitely argued with her for like 10 minutes. So they had to get like security guards and everybody else to come up and force him to take off his kilt because apparently some little girl who was sitting on the ground looked up his kilt.
Was he not wearing anything under his kilt?
No, he's Scottish. You can't wear anything under your kilt.
Who knew that was the rule? But in this particular case, somebody else complained, and that's how. I wonder if that's how all of them happened. Well, I wonder if somebody complained in every one of those situations.
And girls know how to sit in a skirt. Guys do not.
Oh, guys know how. They just don't want to.
And this guy's in a kilt with his legs all spread and no underwear.
Drunk.
And
he's drunk.
Drunk.
I think they made the right choice in this particular case.
It should be a hot chick, not a hot dude. All right? I mean, that's how the rules should go. All right. We're going to take some more calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number, and we will come right.
Apparently, now that we're all living in Afghanistan, women have to wear burqas in order to fly anymore. At least that's the way it appears with a couple of incidents that have been in the news lately due to Southwest Airlines. And we're finding from our callers, Kevin, that it's not just when you're flying. It's just going to work. It's going around town, going to a theme park. It's apparently a lot of people being sent home to change these days.
You know what the real problem is? And I was just thinking of this during the song. The real problem is there have always been people who complain. For some reason now in our society, we are afraid of those people. And if one person says, wow, I don't like that, then we better as a whole company change everything we're doing. Because
good point.
And it used to just be we would go, yeah, get used to it.
Yeah.
And just write them off. But they just don't do that anymore.
I think you're right.
It's a shame.
Let's talk to another always hot name is Amber. She's on line three calling us from Downey this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Amber, you got thrown out of where and for what?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, Amber.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Now, were you working at this place or were you visiting?
I was working there.
Okay.
I was in the marketing department, and I came in late, and so I decided I would just put on some really cute Playboy jeans that emphasize my lady lump.
Right.
And I was like, oh, you know, no big deal. It's a bunny. I work with a dog. They're not going to notice. Oh, my supervisor noticed because she was one of those, you know, not pretty girls.
Uh-huh.
She's like, you know, those pants just aren't appropriate. And I'm thinking, they're pants. But I'm like one of those white girls who's been blessed with a black girl's butt.
Right.
So.
What was inappropriate? The Playboy thing?
Well, no, it was just the jeans were too tight.
Uh-huh. Too tight.
And were they low in the back? Like when you sat down,
they
could
were
you
a
see?
Little low. You could see my tramp stamp if you were like looking for it.
Right.
But I was like, come on, is it because I'm pretty?
No, you know what it is? Honestly, it's...
Knott's Berry Farm.
See?
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call.
Mm. Shouldn't
how
we be
about,
giving these people cash bonuses? Again, I would like to say.
How about Brandy in Orange? This is. Listen to the urgency in her request to cover up. Brandy, good morning. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning.
Hi, Brandy.
Hi. How is today? Kevin and Bean.
You were too hot for what?
For the Star Tours ride in Disneyland.
Okay, what were you wearing?
A bikini top.
Oh.
And?
They stopped the ride. They said it was technical difficulties, but they had everybody file out, and then they had someone walk over to me and ask me to put my shirt on.
Really?
Technical difficulties were in your cups, apparently.
Right.
They made everyone get off? They stopped the whole ride?
They did. It started, it was like we were in there for like maybe, it just started. And then they stopped the ride, said there was technical difficulties, had everybody get off the ride.
Wow.
And then someone came over to me and asked me to cover up.
You are a disturbance in the force.
That's what you are.
How about that? Thanks for the call, Brady.
She's got the boobs that stop Disneyland.
Yep.
All right. Where do we go next? Let's go to Mike in Northridge. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Good.
You guys never believe this one. At a nightclub in Vegas. Can I mention the club?
Yeah, sure.
At the Rio. They have a dress code, believe it or not. My wife and I were at the club on the dance floor above the bar.
Right.
And we get kicked out. Apparently, my wife is causing so much of a distraction, all the guys at the bar aren't ordering drinks anymore.
Because your wife is dressed too hot for a nightclub in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas.
Club Rio in Vegas.
All right, I'm going to call BS on the guys weren't ordering drinks because, let's face it, if a guy didn't order a drink every time there was a hot chick in a club in Las Vegas, they'd all go bankrupt. So clearly that wasn't what was happening. But what was it specifically about her outfit that the club said was too revealing?
Well, she was wearing like a mini skirt dress type. It was kind of sheen. I wouldn't say it was see-through. You got to kind of like, you know, focus.
You got
to
work at
it.
Sure.
Exactly. But, you know, just the fact that we were on the stage, I guess, just a little bit above the bar area, right behind the bar.
That's perfect case scenario.
Mike,
yeah. Right?
Mike, was she wearing,
who could complain about that?
Was she wearing anything under it?
Oh, yeah. No, she had a bathing suit under it.
Oh.
You know?
Huh.
But,
no, okay, then I don't get it.
No.
Okay, thanks for the call.
That's crazy.
Let's talk to Heather in Glendale. She apparently denied a job for being too hot. Too hot to work, apparently, is Heather's story. Good morning. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
We're good. Thank you.
Okay, so this is back when I was still in grad school, and I was in teaching full-time, so I was looking for tutoring jobs. So I went into this one office, and the lady, you know, gave me all the questions, and I thought, okay, I pretty much have the job. Next thing I know, she tells me, well, you know what, Heather, I have to tell you, we do have boy students that come here, and I think they would be distracted because, you know, you are pretty attractive. And she stopped when she said attractive, and I totally thought she was going to say something else.
Right.
But she said, well, you know, I see you're wearing a low-cut shirt, and I was not wearing a low-cut shirt. Who wears a low-cut shirt to an interview, you know?
Really, right. No one.
Yeah.
And so, I know, I mean, how stupid do you have to be? And she just said, that's, you know, my reason. I don't want the students to get distracted. I want them to focus on their studies. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Would you say the following song is true?
I'm 260 for my job.
How do we do it?
So she doesn't get hired. Her name is Heather, and her boobs are just too big for the kids to concentrate on. That's the problem here.
I don't even know if that's legal to say to someone, you're too hot to work in this job.
That's a good
Honestly,
point.
Honestly, it seems like sexual discrimination.
All right, let's close with Debbie in Fullerton, because this really, this rubs me the wrong way for a number of reasons. Debbie, hi, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. You got the final story.
Hello.
Hi Debbie.
Too hot for what?
Church.
Too hot for church?
Serious, yeah. I, you know, you'd think that they would at least just be happy that you're there.
Yeah.
And God made you.
Well, I walked into church late one day. I was a sophomore in high school. I walked into church late. You know, I thought, at least I'm there. And the lady who was up in the front talking, it just happened to be a talk on modesty.
Right.
And the shirt that I was wearing was about 5 inches above my knees. And I thought it looked pretty cute. But then she decided to focus her attention on the girl who was walking in late with the short skirt on.
Oh, no.
So,
and she started pointing you out as bad example?
Yes, I was the only one standing up, and I was the bad example because everybody else was sitting there listening to her and turned around and looked at me.
Excellent.
Yeah, so it's not that she kicked me out, but at that point, I didn't want to go back, you know?
Would you say that the following song is true?
Church.
Come on. And before anyone asks, why don't they just retire Uncle Larry, put Larry King out to pasture? He still has the highest rated hour of the day on CNN, and that's why he continues to get to do his show.
Larry King is old, and he doesn't have any thought process that mimics any other human being on Earth. He's out
Los
of his
Angeles,
freaking mind.
Hello.
I'm obsessed with Larry King and how bad he is now.
Is that why people watch? Because he's so bad?
I don't know.
Just to
no,
see?
No, they watch because he gets good guests. He gets very timely guests. Now, whether Kid Rock, as much as he's been in the news tangentially because of the association with Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee, as much as whether he deserves an hour of time with Larry King, I don't know. But I do know that Larry King had never heard of Kid Rock before and didn't have a single question on his own to ask him. I do know that.
That's a good interview.
He's just a bumbling idiot, Larry, and he's got Kid Rock on the show, and they show a video clip of Kid Rock riding his go-kart, and Kid Rock says, I'm riding my go-kart.
Uh-huh.
And then Larry follows that up with a very, very important question.
Ride my go-kart.
What kind of car is that?
Which car?
That race car. What is that?
Those are go-karts.
Hey, how about that, Larry?
So Larry isn't listening at
no,
all.
No! He says the words, I'm riding my go-kart. And Larry's like, what kind of car is that? That race car there.
What is it?
What the hell's that? So then they start talking about that there's a stripper pole in Kid Rock's house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Now, I mean, who doesn't understand that? Really? Right. Larry
King. And by the way, it's been years. I mean, that's old news that he has a stripper pole. We've known that for years. He had it when he was with Pam.
Yeah.
What's with the pole?
What's that?
What's with the pole?
What do you mean? You don't have one in your house?
No. How do you use it?
How do you use it?
He's kidding, right?
No, he's Larry King.
He's ever been in a strip club in his life?
You got something really big stuck in your teeth? How do you use that big pole?
You know why the pole's in the house, right?
Do you slide down the pole?
Hell no.
No, okay. Do visitors slide down the pole?
They have?
Of the female persuasion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know that guy's on the pole, Larry.
No.
No.
Of the female persuasion.
Of the female.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah, he can't just say you have a stripper pole in your house. He can't say that. He has to be completely clueless about it. Oh, you mean the females? So then he's starting to talk more about Kid Rock and his appearance, and he starts talking about his hat.
So you always work with a hat on?
Yeah, usually.
Ever take it off?
No, Larry. I have had it on since birth.
You douche. Okay.
This is why I suggest that maybe they didn't need an hour with Kid Rock. If Larry is down to, so you always work with the hat on?
So you always work with a hat on?
Yeah, usually.
Ever take it off on stage?
Oh, yeah.
He looks at him like, take it off now.
Oh, you want me to take my hat off?
Yeah, good.
Are you getting it? Yeehaw!
Oh, my God.
Now let's see your hair.
You look biblical. Wait a minute. Hold it. You're blonde.
Okay.
What is going on?
Hold on a minute. You're blonde?
Excellent question.
What is he doing?
I can't imagine.
Here's
How is
my
this
favorite.
An interview on CNN, a channel that represents the United States around the world?
Here's my favorite clip. This is at the end of the interview. So he has now spent an hour with Kid Rock. And he's talked about the hat, and he's talked about the go-kart and the stripper pole, and he finally gets down to tattoos. And listen to how Larry ends the show.
Do you have tattoos?
Yeah. What about that, Larry?
I'll tell you something, kid.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with you.
Thank you.
I look forward to meeting you.
Okay. You've been talking to him for an hour, Larry. You've had him on for an hour. You already met him.
I'm looking forward to meeting you.
What's going on with him?
Did he mean meeting you again?
I don't know.
He must, right? He must have met. I look forward to seeing you in the future.
He forgot he met him.
He forgot. He forgot the hour that just happened. Remember the hat, Larry? Remember the stripper pole? Remember any of that?
The go-kart? Ring a bell?
I'm looking forward to meeting you.
I hear you're going to be on my show.
I hear you're going to be a good guest on my show on CNN. I'm going to look forward to watching.
What about that, Larry?
Tell you something, kid.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with you.
Thank you.
I look forward to meeting you.
Wait a minute. Who are you? Which one are you?
I'm looking forward to that, too, Larry. When's that going to be?
Yeah, Larry?
I just love that interview so much.
So Kid Rock has a new CD out today. It's Rock and Roll Jesus.
Yes. He has sold, by the way, 22 million albums, Kid Rock.
Whoa.
But it has been 3 years since the last one. So this is much anticipated. And as you've been hearing from the song So Hot that we've been playing here on K-Rock, a little bit of a return to form of the kind of music that we like.
Because you know you're so high, I wanna get you alone. You're so high, I wanna get you stoned.
Yes, what does so hot mean, kid? What do you mean by so hot? What does that mean, hot? What does that mean, get you alone? Here's the title track, Rock and Roll Jesus.
And we were trying different things, and we were smoking funny things, making love out by the lake to our favorite song.
How about that?
Kid Rock not afraid of wearing his love for Southern Rock, and in particular Leonard Skinner, on his sleeve. That's for sure. He loves to name check those guys.
That's the song All Summer Long. I said it was Rock and Roll Jesus. That's All Summer Long, and we're going to play that song for you from the new Kid Rock CD when we get back on K-Rock.
Sunny
New
highs.
York City, hello.
Highs in the low 70s and low 80s.
Lubbock, Texas, hello.
Give your kids the gift of a blueberry or carnival red or celery green bedroom with Easy Life's new kids collection.
We're back and we go to St. Paul, Minnesota. Hello.
Custom color beds from just $3.99. No?
Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello.
He can only interrupt. He can't play on cue.
Check out EasyLifeFurniture.com. I'm Lisa
Mumford,
May.
Mumford, Tennessee. Hello.
With K-Rock traffic.
Kevin and Bean.
We spend time on our knees together.
R-O-Q.
Sean Daddy Combs in the news. Coming up next in the Showbiz Beat. Also, Billy Bob Thornton. What's he afraid of? And after rehab, Lindsay Lohan's back at work. All that coming up next after Werewolves of London. Here on the world famous K-Rock.
What is this deal?
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. Summertime in northern Michigan. Splashing through the sandbar, talking by the campfire. It's the simple things in life, like when and where. We didn't
faster in the sun. We couldn't wait for night to come to hit that sand and play some rock and roll. While we were trying different things, and we were smoking funny things, making love out by the lake to our favorite song. Sipping whiskey out the bar, not thinking about tomorrow, singing Sweet Home Alabama all summer long.
Kid Rock.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Kid Rock. That sounds like another song. What are you doing there? That sounds like a different song.
Who slides down the song?
That is called All Summer Long. It's new from Kid Rock. The album comes out today called Rock and Roll Jesus. How about Jean-Sebastien Jaguar, by the way, of the Stanley Cup winning Anaheim Ducks? Not having a great season right out of the gate so far this year, but there's a lot of hockey still to be played, and we'll talk to Jiggy coming up just after the news at 8. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at 7:54.
Is that your J.S. Shiger?
Yeah. Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Diddy Daddy 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 Combs.
Which one of those is his name, really?
All of the above. He recently admitted that he did indeed father a baby with a woman named Sarah Chapman.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
Sean's been denying this for 15 months. However, the DNA test just came back, and yep, it's your baby. A little baby girl named Chance.
Chance.
I guess Sarah Chapman just was taking a shot. It's a chance that it's your baby? The baby was born only months before his longtime girlfriend Kim Porter gave birth to the couple's twin girls.
He's a busy man.
He is. He's busy spreading that seed.
Yep.
You know what it is, ladies? He's got that cocoa butter skin.
Oh, yes.
That's why everyone digs him. He was the first guy to do that commercial.
He was?
For that.
I didn't know that.
You don't know damn well that Lindsay Lohan and Jessica Simpson was not using no proactive. So Diddy wore proactive. Now y'all into skincare products. Now y'all think it's official. Well, I got a secret. I was up on proactive for 7 years. That's why I got the silky smooth cocoa butter skin.
Dave Chappelle doing a sketch about Puff Daddy?
No, that's actually him.
Now, y'all see now.
You're right.
Little lower than nobody else. But I tell y'all know so now. Cocoa butter skin.
I'm just guessing here, but it looked like it was backstage after a show, and it looked like perhaps he'd been imbibing just a bit.
Little lower. Now, on the outside of cocoa butter skin.
Hey, Uncle Remus.
He can turn it on, can he?
See if you can catch that Brer Rabbit in the briar patch.
Uncle Remus. But according to your story, he gets the chicks and gets them pregnant, right?
Well, listen to that. Silver tongued devil.
Sure.
Ah! Little Lord! I want to deal with you now! Little Lord!
I'm never going to Lindsay Lohan anything else for the rest of my life.
Let alone.
Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan. Speaking of Lindsay Lohan, apparently she's found a new key to staying sober. The dance.
The dance?
She's got a new dance coach, a personal dance coach named Gloria Otero.
Okay.
And according to In Touch Weekly magazine, she's been taking weekly dance classes with Gloria to help focus on her well-being and stay out of her addiction.
How long until they are lovers? How long until that story comes up?
Well, you know, she imprints like a baby duckling on anybody she's around in a room. She's like, oh, I love you now.
Yep.
You're in the room with me. I love you. So, yeah, they will be lesbian lovers soon. Apparently the tango is Lady Law's favorite dance.
Maybe she needs the structure. Maybe she needs the discipline of rehearsals and practice and that sort of thing. Gives her something to think about other than getting high.
Maybe. Speaking of Lady Law, she's got a new movie. She's got a new job, believe it or not. Right out of the gate. After 63 days in rehab, Access Hollywood is reporting that Lindsay Lohan will be back in Los Angeles filming her next movie next Monday. Dare to Love Me, it's called. See the posters now. Dare to Love Me. Starring Lindsay Lohan.
That's right.
In theaters now.
Lindsay Lohan.
I'd like to hear Larry King interview P. Diddy.
That'd be great. Who's this Lindsay Lohan? That's what I said.
Never heard of her.
I'm looking forward to meeting you. And Lindsay Lohan.
You meet me now.
Oh, dear Lord. Heidi Montag.
Four.
Yeah.
Needs a face full of acid.
Agreed.
She is pretty fond of herself, according to TMZ.com. She was recently spotted at a Los Angeles newsstand buying over 20 copies of the new Cosmo Girl magazine. Mm-hmm. By sheer coincidence, she happens to be on the cover of Cosmo Girl magazine.
What are the chances she would buy?
She's just a big fan of that magazine, and... You know, what a coincidence. I bet she didn't know that. She got him home. She got her 20 copies home because she likes to read 20 copies.
Sure.
She got him home and said, What the? That's me on the cover.
What a great coincidence.
Who could have expected that? But this month, I was going to be on the cover. Billy Bob Thornton's Afraid of Komodo Dragons.
Yeah.
How often do you run across that?
Isn't he also
danger in your life?
Isn't he also afraid of antique furniture?
Something?
And will only eat yellow food.
Okay.
Yellow food,
yeah.
Ralph, wasn't it a Komodo dragon, though, that did attack Sharon Stone's husband?
Yeah, but you know what happened? They crawled inside the Komodo dragon cage. Unless you do that, I think your odds of running across the Komodo dragon are fairly slim.
You're pretty safe.
Unless you're, camping in the Galapagos or something.
Right.
Other than that. Drew Barrymore's got claustrophobia. Nicole Kidman's afraid of butterflies. And Michael Douglas has my favorite fear of all in terms of celebrity fears. He told the London Sun newspaper that he's got a fear of women with hairy armpits.
Well, don't we all?
One time, Michael spent a summer as a water skiing instructor, and one of his students was a woman from Eastern Europe who didn't see the necessity to shave under her pits. Michael says it was a shock that still sticks in his mind to this day. I've got a different kind of fear when it comes to women's hair, but we won't get into it. It's called the...
I'd love to get a copy of that.
I have no idea what you're referring to.
I've got a friend, you guys, pretty close friend, who was, old school hippie woman. And, hairy legs, got the hairy arms.
No!
Got the hairy.
No!
Yeah.
How are you friends with her?
You're not friends with anyone.
nice, real nice lady.
No, she's
very,
not.
Very comfortable. Lived in Europe, like a lot of women. You know, lived in Europe a long time. Lived
in
Africa.
A lot of women do live in Europe. You're right. But
I'm just saying it's what she's comfortable with.
That isn't good for you.
But you shouldn't be friends with a hairy girl. That's what I'm saying.
Really?
Yes.
Right. I just threw up in my mouth.
What the hell is that? That's not sexy.
I insist you end your friendship with her.
I'm not dating her. We're just friends.
Stop being friends with her.
He doesn't have to stop being friends. His idea of being friends is he met her once.
Now stop being friends. A friend of that Lawrence. Now.
And it's going to be Gary Sinise. CBS has just signed the very talented actor to a deal which will keep him on CSI New York through the year 2010. Show's a smash hit, and CBS wants to keep him around for a while. Daily Variety reports he'll be pulling down a salary of $5 million a year to do the show.
Well, all right, then.
Here's the thing. Those guys who do the hour-long dramas, episodic dramas, you're working your ass off. You're working like 14-hour days. Sometimes
like 10 months of the year,
sometimes
right?
Sometimes 7-8 days in a row to get an episode done. So, although $5 million, come on. It's a nutty salary for anybody to make. But the guys.
He's earning it.
Yeah. It's not like the Friends, the freaking Friends who showed up on a set on Tuesday, did a read-through, and then did a half-hour sitcom from a live audience on Thursday night and made $14 billion a week. So.
Plus, Sinise is solving a lot of crimes, too. Let's not take that away from him.
And he's got no legs. Remember when he came back?
Remember when he came back to Vietnam?
It's
a whole different
movie. He was in that wheelchair?
Yeah.
And he was working with that stupid guy on the fishing boat?
I do remember that, yeah.
Now he's working for the CSI.
Let it alone.
Who should guest on the next CSI New York?
Let it alone.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Let it alone again. Now.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Happy birthday to Sharon Osbourne, 55 years old. Doesn't she look great?
She looks amazing.
Considering
that's what Kevin's always said.
Yep. Considering what she's got to put up with.
Yeah.
What she's got to deal with on a daily basis. That giant baby she's got to walk around and change his diapers and wipe his mouth and everything.
He's still touring, you know, at times.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Huh. Tony Shalhoub, Monk from Monk, is 54 years old today. What? He's Monk.
Good point.
Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap and Star Trek Enterprise. He's 53 years old today. John O'Hurley from Dancing with the Stars and Spamalot, currently in Vegas. He's 53. Sean Lennon, son of John Lennon, is 32. And Michael Paré, who was Eddie in Eddie and the Cruisers, one of my favorite all-time movies. Oh, remember that song? In the dark side, oh yeah. Remember that?
No.
This is how I feel.
I don't remember the movie. I don't remember the song. What would it sound like if Diddy sang it?
Let it Lord Dark Eye.
Ralph Garman on Showbiz Beat.
Give me the big intro, Kevin, while I remind you that the Anaheim Ducks Stanley Cup Championship banner is being raised before the game tomorrow night. Ceremony starting at 6:45. How about that? How about the players got their rings? How about they get the banner tomorrow night? How about they're back and they are the defending world champions? And the man in the net for that great run last year in the playoffs is back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show for the start of a new season. John Sebastian Jaguar joins us now on the phone. Good morning, Jiggy.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, how you feeling? I've been catching up this morning on all the hernia news. What happened to you, man?
Nothing. It was just kind of a bit of wear and tear from last season and I guess we decided that it was better to get the surgery in the summer. So both doctors that I saw this summer couldn't guarantee me that I could play all year. So we just thought that it would be a wise decision to do it now. And at least if you miss a little bit at the beginning of the season, you don't have to miss the playoffs.
Sure. Now, was this something that you realized was pretty aggravated once you kind of started working out and getting into practice again for the new season? Then you said, oh, wow, now I got a problem?
Yeah, exactly. You know, as soon as we stopped playing, the pain kind of went away. And they just wanted me to rest for at least a month and do nothing and see what would happen. And then once I start training again and skating and all that, the pain was the same as it was during the playoffs. So we figured that it was something that will never go away.
So you had surgery. It seems like it would be difficult enough to stay in shape, you know, in the off season, and then to come into camp ready to go. Now you had surgery. How long have you been kind of sitting around?
Actually, it wasn't that bad. I was able to work out about a month before the surgery. And once I got the surgery done, I had to sit around for about 2.5 weeks. And then right away you could start working out again. And riding the bike and stuff. So yeah. I've been, you know, shape-wise, I'm in really good shape right now, and Once I'll be able to play, it won't be a problem.
Sure. And by coincidence, by the way, your teammate, Sammy Paulson, same deal, right? He's been out for the same reason.
Yeah, actually, he had a double. He had both sides done. And I guess that's pretty rare. But he's Sammy's a machine, and he'll he recovers from these things pretty easily. And he's going to be ready to play pretty soon.
Is there something in the water at the Honda Center? What's going on with the hernias?
This is Jean-Sébastien Jaguer on the line. We're talking about the Ducks versus the Bruins. Unfortunately, this one is sold out for tomorrow night as they unveil the championship banner. You know what's weird, Jiggy, is I feel like the offseason for you was like a week and a half. It seems like we were just talking to you after you guys won the Cup, and here you are back again.
I know. It went pretty fast. I'll tell you what, that's the way it should be every year. You know, you play to win it all, and that's, you know, the way you should want it every year. And, you know, although the summer was very short, it was a fun summer. You know, I got to share the Cup with, you know, my family and my friends and all that, so that was pretty cool. And then,
is that what aggravated the hernia, was holding up the Cup?
I think it was that, and too much drinking in the Cup.
Tell us about, because we have a little bit of business to catch up on since the last time we spoke with you. Tell us about taking the show on the road and playing in front of the fans in England. What was that like?
That was pretty cool. You know, I think the NHL has got to do that. You know, we have to promote the game overseas. We have a lot of fans back in Europe that don't get to see your product. So, I think it was an honor for us, you know, the Ducks, to represent the NHL in that that event. And the building there was just amazing, you know. And, you know, I think there was people from everywhere. You know, you saw jersey from all over the world. And it was cool to see people were really into it.
Do you face this upcoming season with a little bit of, I don't know how we're going to top what we did last year? You know, anything less than doing that again will be a little bit of a disappointment?
You know, you can't put that kind of pressure on you. I think you got to take it one day at a time. You know, what you did last year was great, but, you know, you want to try to repeat that for sure. But I think you just got to take it one game at a time. You know, the other teams are going to be ready for you. They're going to be they're going to take your team as a challenge. You know, they want to measure themselves against you.
Yeah, so, that's true. Even more than most teams, they think, okay, this team won it all last year, so we need to be up and play our best.
Exactly. And so it's not going to be an easy season. And you know, you have the Cup hangover. You know, everybody knows about the Cup hangover. It's just a little bit harder to play and get focused and stuff like that at the beginning of the season. So we're hoping to be able to have a good, you know, a fairly good beginning of the season. And then once come Christmas, that's when you're going to really pick it up and hopefully get into the playoff and play well.
It's funny, as hard as it is to win a championship in any major sport, it seems like it's 100 times harder to win it the next year, probably for some of the reasons you've described. It is, you know, you just don't see a lot of repeating going on in sports in any of them anymore. It's just, it's too tough, too long a season to be that good all the time, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's a long season. And then I think the parity in the league is amazing. You know, every team can beat any team in any given night. And especially with the salary cap, so it's hard to really build yourself a team, you know, like with all the best players. Nobody can do that anymore. So
right.
It just makes it even that much harder to win, you know, back to back.
Nobody can be the Yankees in hockey because they actually have a cap.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Although the Yankees aren't even the Yankees in baseball anymore. They're watching on TV now too. Hey, Jiggy, one of the final questions for us, and you're always so generous with your time. We very much appreciate when you squeeze us into your schedule. But tell us about the ring. Tell us about the World Championship ring that you got this week.
Yeah, we got it last night. Actually, we had a little ceremony at the Samuel Year Owners, and that was amazing. You know, we were all looking forward to get that ring, and they did a tremendous job. You know, they put a lot of time and effort into the ring. They didn't want to forget anything, and I was blown away by just the details that they put into it. Just, you know, they didn't forget the past, like the Mighty Ducks and all that. It's all into the ring, and I didn't know how much more they could put in that little piece of jewelry. Actually, it's a pretty big piece of jewelry.
Dude, but I'd wear that everywhere I went. I'd wear it when I'm ordering. Oh, did you see my ring? Look at this.
Put your hand out the window in the drive-thru. Right. What kind of so there's a lot of carving, a lot of words on it. What kind of stones or I mean, is it jewels or what do they have on it?
They got white gold, and it's tons of diamonds, obviously. There's The old Ducks logo is in diamond, and the Stanley Cup is all in diamond. Actually, wow. they put the Stanley Cup on it. There's 16 stone diamonds, and each stone represented a win that we got during the playoff. And so there's a lot of little details like that that just makes it such a beautiful piece.
And where do you keep that in your house exactly?
I'm going to start looking to see which player is the first one to put it up on eBay, man. That one sounds too good to be true. That's
I don't
fantastic.
Think anybody will do that.
No, I doubt it.
No. All right. Well, here's the deal, folks. Sold out tomorrow night. Boston Bruins are in town. Anaheim Ducks. That one's gone. Ducks Stanley Cup Championship banner is going to be raised at the game starting at 6:45 if you're going for the ceremony. And then, of course, you'll be playing, I think, next Sunday, I think I want to say Minnesota maybe coming to town. You can still get tickets for that. And hopefully you'll be in the net Wednesday. If not Wednesday, then probably Sunday. Right, Jiggy?
Yes. Definitely coming up this Sunday. It's a huge possibility.
Fantastic.
Okay, fantastic. Great to hear from you, man. Congratulations again. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon on K-Rock.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jiggy.
I
smell bacon!
Oh, no, she did not.
That's the wrong button.
Yeah,
there you go.
We have started a series that we stole from Gustavo Arellano called Ask a Mexican. We had him in. We had people call in with questions. Then we had Ask a Black. And then we had Ask a Gay.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Today we have Ask a Cop.
Yes.
I think that's great.
How about
some
that? We have Jerry Lucio. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
LAPD for how long? Eight years?
Yes, 8 years.
And what do you do now? You still work for the cops or no?
No, I just do private security in Bel Air mainly.
Hey, there's so much training involved, so much work involved in being an LAPD officer. Why only 8 years? That seems like a pretty short run.
Yeah, you know, LA is a tough town to be a cop in.
And, oh yeah,
you know, a lot of stuff that goes on within the department. It's just tough. So I'm pretty much over it.
And you can only beat up so many people.
Yeah, pretty much.
And hope it's not on video. Forgive my ignorance here, but as a police officer for LAPD, you do a little bit of everything, or did you have some certain area of expertise that you concentrated mostly in?
Mainly, I just did the patrol thing, basically handle radio calls and write tickets, the usual. So, you know, if you call 911, call the police, I would show up.
Okay. You would show up. So we're going to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. What do most people ask you about? I mean, if they find out you used to be with the LAPD, what's their impression?
I guess...
Why do you hate minorities?
I
guess why you left, pretty much. Why did I leave? What am I doing now? Pretty much. And they usually think that you're an a-hole sometimes.
That's kind of the name that LAPD has, right?
Yes.
I mean, unfortunately, that's the case. Why?
I think because everything that's been going on, like in the media that's been in the past, you know, Rodney King, Rampart, things like that, just gives a lot of the guys, you know, a bad, you know. And
a few bad apples kind of a thing.
The thing, too, is that when you go, like, out of state and you meet other police officers from other, you know, other towns, they look up to LAPD.
So, oh, do they?
So they totally have a different perspective of you compared to people here.
Do they have do people in other towns give their police officers a different kind of attitude than what happens here in LA? I mean, do they have more respect for them? Do they look at them more as their protectors, or is it the same?
No, definitely more respect than other towns.
Interesting. But do you think part of the image problem is, yeah, there have been a few bad apples, but those are the ones that make the news. It's not news if you show up as Officer Lucio and you handle text by the textbook a case that you have and everybody goes home happy. That doesn't make the news. You know, all the hundreds, thousands of hardworking police officers that are out there doing their job every day and not getting into trouble and actually serving and protecting, there's no story in that. It's only the occasional flare-up here and there that's going to give you the bad reputation, right?
Yeah, I think because, it's just so exposed when something goes, you know, they don't point out the good things. When something bad happens, they really expose it in the media. But I wouldn't say the majority of the people that I ran into in my 8 years are very supportive of LAPD or just supportive of cops in general.
All right, we have some great questions on hold. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We are going to do Ask a Cop when we get back on.
Jerry Lucio is here, former LAPD officer for 8 years. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call right now if you'd like to ask a cop.
Well, I can smell beer on you.
Get your hands behind your back!
You haven't smoked any pot tonight?
Behind your back!
Under arrest!
For what?
Under arrest!
For what?
Have you ever had an altercation with the police and wondered, what the f*** is that cop thinking? Well, now we can answer all of your law enforcement mysteries with Ask a Cop.
Freeze!
I have a question for you first. Is what do you think of the show Cops? You like that? Do you think it makes you look in a bad light? What is it?
Yeah, we laugh at the other cops, you know, their tactics, the way they handle stuff, especially that these guys are out of state or in the Midwest. You know, it's just, yeah, you get a crack out of it.
They right. seem a little Barney Fife compared to the big city copping that you've been doing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let me ask you one before we go to our first call, and that is, what's the coolest thing you ever stole out of the evidence locker?
I'll have no comment.
Come on. You're retired. You should be able to talk about stuff like this.
Dude, I've seen The Shield. I know what goes on.
All right. Let's start with Kyle in Lakewood on line one, because we might as well just get this one out in the open, because it's the big elephant in the room. Everybody's thinking it. Kyle's got the guts to ask a cop. Go ahead, Kyle.
What's going on with the mustaches? It's kind of weird.
It's a great question. Why, is the highest percentage of mustaches in the world on LAPD officers?
Because it's like the Wild Wild West, you know, we want to look like Wyatt Earp and have a mustache. So.
Okay.
Well, I got a goatee, and I take pride in that, but mustache don't seem...
Are you a cop, Kyle?
No, I'm not.
All right, then. Yeah. Either that or a male porn star. You don't get a stash.
Okay.
Sorry, dude.
I get the impression that you guys call each other going, dude, I'm totally going to grow a mustache. How about you? Yeah, me too. It'll be cool. It's like we're at a club.
Let's say good morning to, I think it's Desi. Desi in Los Angeles. Hi.
Yeah. My question was, I'm thinking of becoming an LAPD officer, and I've done drugs in the past. Is that going to affect me?
I think recently Chief Bratton kind of is a little bit more lenient on it as far as
what are the rules, or have they been?
There was, well, you know, 8 years ago when I came in, there was rules where, like, you know, if you've tried marijuana, you know, they'll look past that depending on your history. But any other drug, they would cancel you out. And now I think they're more, it goes by case-by-case basis.
Depending on your age and...
Yeah, depending on your age and
when you were
and
using.
How much did you take or
so this guy smoked pot in high school, no big deal.
No, he'd be fine.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go down to line seven, get April on. She's in Canoga Park. I'm sure you've been asked this question many times when you run in traffic, officer, but let's see what April's got to say. Hey, morning, April. You're on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Good morning, guys. My question is, when you're, like, radaring people down the street, do you give, like, a few miles grace, or do you, like, nail people at 1 mile over the limit?
Well, no, every cop has a... what they call it, like a guesstimation ratio. So it varies, because you go to radar school and you can pretty much guesstimate somebody's speed. You might be 1 or 2 miles off.
Wait a minute. You go to radar school?
Yeah, you go to radar school.
So you don't
school.
Need a radar?
That's some BS.
No, I mean you go to the school to learn the radar.
Oh, okay.
But every cop has a different, like, leniency of... Because I used to have a policeman that lived in my neighborhood. He used to tell me 7 miles per hour. As long as you're going under 7 miles over the speed limit, they'll usually let you go.
It depends. Some people, you know, I guess it depends on the cop. Some people are like sticklers for 1 mile over the speed limit.
I hate those guys.
You're going to write them a ticket. Yeah. Some guys will, you know, like me, probably 10, 15, you know, get a little break.
It probably also depends on whether you're talking about freeway driving or street driving.
Yeah, too.
And what where the surface street is.
What
yeah.
What's the deal with the quotas? We hear some, you know, in some situations, thank you for the call, April. In some situations, we hear quotas are legal here and illegal there. They're admitted to here. They're discouraged there. What's the LAPD policy on amount of tickets that you're supposed to write if you're out there on the ticket beat?
Well, we don't have quotas because it is illegal.
Right.
But no.
Whatever
LAPD
terminology you use.
But LAPD doesn't have quotas. But I'll tell you this. If your watch average is 10 tickets and you're writing two, well, you're going to be working a desk or probably not get the weekends off.
So they kind of average everybody together, and they can tell if you're not holding up your part.
Yeah, so if one guy on your watch is writing 10 tickets, you know, we're going to have to go talk to
everybody
him.
Everybody beats him up,
yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
Dude, you're making us look bad. Stop it.
Hey, how did your job change after 9/11, Jerry?
Very much, you know, things that we wouldn't think about, like, for example, working here on the west side, we had the dam over there up by Bel Air. You know, we'd have to go check that sometimes, especially when the level goes up, the terrorist level goes up. So things like that, just that
we would packages found on the side of a freeway.
Oh, yeah, those are
like
all the time.
Yeah.
Packages, especially on the west side over here. There's a lot of packages found, you know. We have to respond.
What's up
to
with the West Side? How come they can't keep track of their packages?
Well, we got that.
What the hell's going on?
Because they get so many delivered.
For God's sakes, people keep control of your packages.
Why haven't you figured out a way to get people to not slow down and look at cars that are pulled off on the side of the road?
You know, when you're out there, even if they see us out there, I've yelled at so many people to just keep going. They Yeah, I don't know. They just don't get it.
You need to start shooting at them, dude.
Alex and Burbank.
Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ask a cop. Hello, Alex.
Alex, hi.
Morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there.
Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
I want to know why rookie cops got to be such dicks.
Are rookie cops dicks? Or why are they, I guess, is
the
question.
It's because I think a lot, some of that is the fear, because it's just so they're so new to it. And besides, you know, besides handling, you know, dealing with people and not knowing what to do, or, you know, learning what to do, you got your training officer yelling at you. So they're like,
so they're less confident.
There's a lot of things going on. Yeah.
So they're really, really trying to control everything because they're so afraid something's going to go out of control.
Yeah. They don't, they're learning how to talk to people, how to control things. So they're afraid, you know, that it might get out of control. Yeah. So they, you know, they get a little scared.
Jerry, did you ever fire your gun in the line of duty?
No, I didn't.
And that's a pretty typical response.
Not much of a cop, are you?
Most police officers, right?
Pretty much, yes. It's very, and I think it's just fortunate because there's just so many things happening in the city that it's just very, you know, very rare to find somebody that has fired.
So
a
you
gun.
Think of yourself as being really lucky that you didn't have to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of paperwork involved if you do too, right?
Which is a big I'd rather. Use my baton.
Right. You can just beat someone up. Yeah. You don't have to fill out paperwork. Jay in Riverside. Good morning.
How you doing?
That's a great question. Ask a cop.
Hi, Jay.
Hi. Hi, Lisa, man. Kevin and Beam.
Yes.
All right. I want to know, after, like, if you get pulled over for, like, a traffic stop or anything, right, so if you have marijuana, what do they do with it?
Not what are you supposed to do with it. What do you do with it?
We take it to the station and we book it into evidence.
Right, that's the official answer. But what I think what the caller wants to know is, what do you really do with it?
Yeah,
that's what we do with it. Depends on the amount.
That's the answer we were looking for.
All right, good.
We'll let Jerry, you off with that one. If you're an active LAPD officer, which, of course, for folks tuning in late, you are not, do you get drug tested during the course of your employment?
Yes, randomly, yes, we do.
Okay. And how often does that happen?
Randomly,
it's just randomly
on average.
Like, there's some times where I've gone like 2 years without getting a drug test, and there's times where I got like 1 month after another. So,
wow,
it's,
how about that?
It just
that
depends.
Is really random.
Were you ever completely smashed on the job?
No, but I've had tough nights the nights before.
So hungover.
Yeah, hungover.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Nicole, because this is always what I picture myself as a cop doing. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was wondering, is it common for cops to pull over a hot chick to hit on her because she's hot?
That's what I would do. I'll tell you that right now.
No, it's not. It's not common. I don't know. It depends on the person. But no, we wouldn't put you over just because you're hot. We pull
but
you over.
But would you pull them over a little quicker than you would have someone else?
Yeah, if there are two women driving down the road and they're both doing the wrong thing, who are you pulling over? The ugly one or the hot one?
The hot one.
And do hot chicks get out of tickets more?
You know what? It depends on the person that pulls you over. But some guys look at it like their motto is they're giving every hot girl a ticket because they're the ones that always get off.
Okay.
So I guess it depends on the guy.
Those are the guys that never got the chicks in high school.
Has a hot chick ever offered to work her way out of a ticket?
Not to me personally, but I've heard stories.
But you sure have. I have heard stories. Yes, interesting. Jerry, let me ask you this. We have so many questions. I mean, this is a really – it wasn't our idea, by the way. It was a listener who suggested ask a cop. So we really appreciate that suggestion. How frustrating is it for LAPD to see so many good arrests not result in convictions for reasons that are out of the police officer's control? I would imagine that would really hurt.
Yeah, it's very, 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 very frustrating because it feels like, you know, all your hard work just pretty much wasted.
Right.
Do you guys follow that when you arrest someone? I mean, do you really follow it through to the end to see what happens?
Well, sometimes we have to go to court and testify against the person that we arrested. And it just – you don't get a subpoena for court and you wonder what happened.
Right.
And you talk to the detective and they say, oh, they didn't file the case.
Excellent.
Or bad, bad lawyering or bad evidence or something like that. There's any number of things that can go wrong, I guess, that'll derail the case. And then it's kind of wasted your time at that point, hasn't it?
Yeah, especially if you get like a, you know, something where you have to stick a couple hours of overtime writing paperwork.
Right, exactly.
I have one other question for you. I always heard that when you get a ticket, the cop has to show up to court.
Yes.
So what you do is you call the police station, you find out when his off day is, and then you reschedule court for a day he's off. Boom, you walk.
No, even if you're off, we get paid overtime to go to court. So I'm getting paid to
Damn
be
it.
There. So I'm going to be there.
Damn it. I was so happy with that answer.
I'm glad you came in, Jerry. This is an interesting segment, and then we just scratched the surface of questions that people have. But would you recommend to a young person that came up to you and said, I'm thinking of being an LAPD, is that a career that you would say, yeah, go for, or something you'd advise them to stay away from?
It depends on the person, but I would definitely tell them that, you know, the honest answer that L.A. and LAPD is a tough department to work for, and it's a tough city to work for. So
go to San Diego or someplace else if it's...
Go somewhere where there's the beach or something.
Unless you like to beat up minorities. And then, right? Sorry. thanks for coming in. We totally appreciate it. It's fun to be able to ask people these questions because we've had them for so long. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks. She wants to be a bartender for real?
According to TMZ, she filled out the application and turned it in and is currently with human resources at the hotel.
She probably thinks she's pulling one over on him because she can get all the free booze she wants.
Yeah, one for me, one for you, y'all.
Right.
No word yet on whether the hotel is considering hiring Brit to pour their booze or drink it. I would so call her if I were them and say, okay, Ms. Spears, you have the job.
You start tonight.
No, you apply. Come on in. And then fire her. Fire her ass. Why do I hate her so?
I don't know.
I don't know either. She ticks me off. Maybe it's because she kept her children waiting for 40 minutes outside her home
while she refused
to answer the door. That same day, earlier in the day, that Thursday, she was supposed to get her first visit with her kids. And apparently K-Fed's bodyguard was bringing the kids over along with a parenting coach. This is a person who specializes in the psychology of kids and parents interacting, and she was going to help teach her how to interact with her children in a healthy, positive way.
Court-ordered, right?
Court-ordered, yes. However, Brittany is apparently quite the obstinate little wench when it comes to people telling her what to do. She doesn't care for it.
Hmm.
So she got the call about 10 minutes before they arrived. They're on their way. They get to the house. They ring the doorbell. She won't answer. 10 minutes go by, half an hour goes by, 40 minutes go by. The kids are crying in front of the house. They're standing on the doorstep.
They have a one-year-old and two-year-old waiting outside her door. She's inside.
She refuses to answer.
Wow.
So K-Fed's bodyguard apparently just pulled the plug and said, all right, let's take them home.
They should have done that after 5 minutes, by the way.
Yeah, you don't answer the door, you lose.
Look, I understand Brittany doesn't want to hear advice from anybody because she doesn't feel she needs it, but... As a mother, don't you think I've got two little kids out there who are crying because they want to see their mother? Don't you at least – doesn't that trump whatever – however uncomfortable you are with the conversation that has to be had?
I think it would for most mothers, but she's not
missing the gene.
She's missed whatever it is, and she's the one that wanted the kids.
Pamela Anderson, of course, married Rick Solomon this weekend in Las Vegas.
Boobs.
Details about the ceremony are starting to leak out. E! Online says that guests were served pigs in a blanket, macaroni and cheese, and tuna tacos.
Right on.
It's a Kevin wedding.
It sure is. If everyone wore shorts and dyed their hair platinum blonde, it'd be the perfect event for Kevin.
Love mac and cheese.
For dessert, there was a wedding cake. Unfortunately, they didn't have time to find a real one, so it was made out of cardboard. And so...
Did they eat it anyway?
No, the guests were served jelly donut holes for dessert.
Oh, no!
Yeehaw!
Wow.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
This is with a bride and a groom, both who are very, very wealthy, by the way. This isn't about cash.
Yeah.
This is just about trash.
Is he wealthy?
Oh, yeah.
From what? What's he wealthy from?
Internet gambling, right?
Yeah, I think that was where he made his money, yeah.
Huh.
He's a producer, too, of some sort. Pam, of course, as I mentioned before, did wear a white denim dress to her wedding. White jeans dress. I haven't seen anyone rock the jeans dress since my summers down in the South Jersey Shore. That's back in the 80s. That was a very popular outfit for the girls was the jeans dress, but I haven't seen that in some time. She's a keeper. Good luck, Rick.
Good luck to both of them.
Lindsay Lohan.
Who?
Lindsay Lohan. Apparently, 63 days out of rehab is got a job. She's back in L.A. and begins filming her next movie, Dare to Love Me, next Monday. By the way, Dare to Love Me is a phrase I think she's used quite a bit, especially in rehab, if you're married.
Yeah.
Dare to Love Me, Dare to See My Hoo-Hoo.
Yeah.
So, despite her troubles, looks like Hollywood is still willing to give her a job. Surprise, surprise.
It's a very forgiving community.
It really is.
You can bounce
If
back.
She can make them money,
sure.
Then that's what matters.
Yeah. They really don't care what problems you have if you can still... Put asses in the seats. Although she hasn't had a hit movie since, freaking Parent Trap.
I don't know.
When's the last time she was in a hit?
Well,
Mean Girls.
Mean Girls?
Mean Girls was, probably her best and biggest, but she has terrible taste in movies. I mean, a lot of these movies she's in wouldn't have been hits with any actresses.
Herbie.
Not her fault.
That's true. She was fully loaded.
Yeah.
And then she made a movie with Herbie, remember?
Oh! Stripper movie, for instance. No one could save that.
Can we hear that clip from Puffy one more time talking about Lindsay Lohan and proactive?
You know damn well that Lindsay Lohan and Jessica Simpson was not using no proactive. So Diddy, whoa, proactive. Now, y'all in the skincare products. Now y'all think it's official. Well, I got a secret. I was off on proactive for 7 years. That's why I got silky smooth cocoa butter skin.
y'all think it's official.
We didn't want the Chappelle sketch, Kevin. We want the actual P. Diddy.
That was Diddy.
That
was actually Diddy.
He's the best.
He is the best.
Happy celebrity birthdays to Sharon Osbourne. She is 55 years old today. Tony Shalhoub, Monk from Monk on Monk TV, is 54.
He should get some awards for that. That'd be great.
He should get a few Emmys. Yeah. Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap and Enterprise is 53. John O'Hurley, Lisa's favorite star of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, he was fabulous.
He can really dance.
He's 53 years old today. And you know, I want to say a special happy birthday to?
Who?
Remember Lispy? Remember our intern, Lispy?
Yeah,
sure.
Lispy!
Today's Lispy's birthday.
Lispy,
no kidding.
Says, it's my birthday today. I would love it if you could announce it on the Showbiz Report. It would make a great day for me at my SE job. Crappy job. Thank you all very much. All the best, Alex.
So, Lispy!
Alex, we miss you here at the Kevin Bean Show. You were a good intern, Lispy.
Which one was he?
He was the one with the list.
The guy with the list. Oh. I just wondered if we really missed him or if we even remember who he was.
No, we like him.
Better than drunk beer mug, that's for sure.
We'll deal with him next.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Beer mug. How are you still alive, dude?
My liver is yelling at me.
Screaming.
This is a mess.
I'm starting to regret this, actually, because...
Beer mug is our intern.
Just now you're starting to regret it?
Mike,
like on Sunday morning you didn't regret it?
How did this Saturday all start? Morning? Was it at Universal when you were there Friday
Universal
night?
Universal Studios Friday night for the Halloween Horror Nights where I was hosting the tram. Johnny showed up, and we had a good time and everything. And then I had to come back to the studio and do an overnight shift. So about, 3:30 in the morning, I get a call on the request line, and the phones don't ring at that time of night. And I pick it up. Hey, it's your favorite Jew. I'm like, what? It's Mug. It's Mug. And he's talking to me, and we have a long, long conversation. And Johnny is very hammered. He's at Universal Studios still at 4 in the morning because he's too afraid to drive. He's just passed out in his car. And I said, Johnny, whatever you do, you need to call the Afro line.
And he did, and he called, and he called, and he called, and he called, and he called. Apparently 25 times. This is one of the first.
Hey, guys, it's Beer Mug, and I realized something. Sobriety is my kryptonite. I am terrible at life, at functioning when I'm sober.
Now, Beer Mug, when you hear the voice... of that guy on the Afro call. Does that sound familiar to you? Do you remember leaving
totally
that message at all?
Different person.
Oh, please.
Totally different person. I think some of the blaming we could point the fingers to is the open bar at the event we were at that night.
It's their fault.
It is their fault.
Tell people how you got your nickname.
I have a beer mug tattooed on the top of my right foot.
All right. So then Beer Mug calls back, and he's now, for some reason, he's, I don't know where his hands are, but he's starting to think of Lisa May. And he leaves this message.
Okay. Hey, it's Mug again. Lisa May is a mom I'd like to f***.
No.
Actually, she's a pet parent. A pet parent I'd like to f***. A papilf. I love it.
A papilf.
I like the papilf, too. That's pretty funny.
I think I had a retraction to that. That was
didn't
right
see
out.
That. Oh, I didn't see that one.
I could have sworn
don't
I
have the retraction. Do I? No.
Not at all.
Here's another call from Beer Mug.
This is a mess.
Beer Mug, who else did you call that night when you weren't calling Mike on the air and calling the Kevin to Beat Afro line?
Among about 50 names in my contacts list on my phone... Among
you're
some
one
of the
those people.
People
that just think I need to talk to people now?
What happens is after a long night of, you know, boozing and a good time, I get lonely when everybody leaves me. I it seems like I just need to keep it going because I don't want to sit there and talk to myself. So whether it be calling people, leaving them messages, or texting, among some of the people I called, one of them I called my boss, Aisa.
Oh, hold on a second.
Oh, no.
Hey, Aisa?
Johnny.
By the way, and let me just say this before we go on. Nobody loves a drunk call more than Aisa. She has actually gotten mad at me for calling other people and not her when I'm drunk. She demands that kind of devotion.
It is. It's important. A drunk call is like saying I love you to me.
So, Beer Mug calls you.
What? And he actually did say, he called me, and you guys know what his voice sounds like.
Sure.
It's probably 4 o'clock in the morning, and here's the thing. When, you know, he's one of my promo guys, so when they call, I worry immediately. I pick up the phone and answer and go, Johnny, what's wrong? Are you okay? Aisa, I love you.
And you can totally, Aisa,
how are you?
you probably woke up out of the deepest slumber, I think.
Yes. It was 4 in the morning, dude. Yeah. Oh,
I apologize.
But he called to say he loved you.
Yes, and I did say, Johnny, where are you? And he said, I'm in a parking lot at Universal. Not leave. You cannot leave. You cannot move. Nothing. Stay
right
where you are.
He was good with that. He was sleeping, but he insisted on talking to all of his friends at the time.
Oh, Johnny.
Hey, Aisa, ask him about calling his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, God.
Johnny, what did you do?
Well,
how many times have I told you?
Among other things, I thought it would be a great idea after, you know, calling everybody else to call my ex-girlfriend.
How long had you been broken up with this girl?
Probably about like a year.
A year, okay.
And she was totally caught off guard by it. And I called. She picked up. She's like, hello? She's like, who is this? I was like, hey, baby. She's like, what's up? I'm like, how you doing? You know, just me being an idiot.
Right.
And she's like, why? What's up? Is everything good? I was like, I got a confession. I'm still in love with you. Will you marry me?
Oh, God.
He called his ex-girlfriend who he'd been broken up with a year and asked her to marry him. And what did she say?
She said no because she's a whore.
Oh, yeah, that's her problem.
Bros before hoes, Johnny.
All the time.
All right, so you're good. Everything's cool? Do we need to dry you out? Do we need to put you in a program?
Got a little problem going, you think?
Like I said, all we have to do is point fingers at the open bar. They're supposed to cut me off. And
you were overserved. It was their fault.
I was overserved. I was cut off after 3 beers one time at a Dodger game, and they couldn't have the decency to cut me off after mixing beer and alcohol on that.
It's really, you're really going to try and blame it on them?
Partially.
Thank you, Aisa.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Aisa. Thanks.
This is a mess.
We're sorry. You missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
How about this? 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air and win tickets for Knott's Halloween Haunt. It's the 35th annual Knott's Halloween Haunt, and it's coming up on Sunday, October the 14th, and you will be there courtesy of good old Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
All right, let's see here. Let's begin with Kiki, because Kiki knows how to party.
Oh, Kiki.
Kiki in Burbank, hi.
Hi.
What it do,
nephew, baby boo.
Hey, Kiki.
So, I was at Oktoberfest this weekend, and I thought I'd join the beer drinking contest, and I got about two-thirds way down of the beer, and I hit a burp. Which is a vomit burp, and it sprayed the front row of people.
Why are you sharing this in such excruciating detail?
That wasn't the end of it, though. It kind of set off a chain reaction.
Oh no!
God,
yeah.
Everybody else started puking too.
They were so grossed out by it.
That's the worst Oktoberfest ever.
That's a horrible Oktoberfest.
Thank you for the call.
This is why the Germans lost the war. Couldn't keep their beer down.
That is a party and then not a party all of a sudden.
Burp, by the way. The vomit burp. I like that. Add that to our vocabulary.
You know, I always think about yawns being contagious, but I forget that, vomiting also contagious. Yeah. You don't want to be around that at all.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Juan in Azusa. Good morning.
Yeah, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hey, Juan.
What up, Mike and Ralph? Listen.
What's up?
I got, you make your kids promises, talking about do good in school, I'll take you wherever you want, get you whatever you want.
Yeah, of course.
I had to take my daughter to High School Musical this past weekend.
Sure.
On Friday.
That's a tough one.
So I'm like, this is going to blow. This is going to be gay. But I get there, and there is, like, MILFs galore, man. I'm telling you, you gotta,
all their men are at home, too, because they didn't want to go, right?
Yeah, they're just like, no, take your sister or whatever. And I'm there. I'm with my daughter and her little cousin. And I'm just like, geez, it's like, like fishing in a barrel is easy, bro.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, how old is the average little girl at the High School Musical on Ice show?
They're all like 8 to
yeah, which means their moms are like 26. I mean, yeah. It's ideal, right?
Without guys,
yeah.
Yeah, and there's like very rare like dads there. It's just like it was just that easy.
Were there any say single guys there? Juan?
No.
Like my man Bean.
No. Not that I saw. They were all
didn't think so.
That would be inappropriate.
Yeah, and
that
creepy.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Just for the record, by the way, I've never gone to any of the High School Musical stage productions or On Ice or anything like that. I like the TV show. I like the album. I like the DVD, but I don't really go see the live thing.
Is he still talking?
I wonder
if Juan scored with any of the MILFs at the thing. Is he a single dad? Or what was his deal?
Hey, Juan?
Yeah.
You a single dad?
Yeah.
By the way,
did you score with any of the MILFs? Did you get any numbers or anything?
We did a little exchanging, so it's trying to work it out, you know?
A little exchanging.
Mm. I'm going to take that as a no. That's a guy saying no.
You're a glass half empty kind of guy, aren't you, Kevin?
No, but when you say, are you single, and he says, yes, that's already a red flag.
Look, what happens at High School Musical on Ice stays at High School Musical on Ice.
All right, let's go to Peter in Covina. Good morning, Peter.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do? What it do, baby boo?
Hey, Peter.
Yeah, I want to talk about K-Fed being the pimp of the year, the man of the year.
K-Fed, the man of the year.
Yes, sir. Every time Grindy goes down, loses it more, he just looks more and more pimpish.
Yeah.
Taking the money, hitting Britney when she's still good. Now two kids are like the next big rappers. Watch.
Yeah, by the way, speaking of the next big rappers, you can go to krock.com and the Kevin and Bean page's video and see the latest from
K-Fed's
kids.
Yeah,
their new joint. What's the name of it?
Dem Federline Boys.
Dem Federline Boys, yeah. Excellent. So check that out. It's at krock.com right now. All right, let's go to Eddie in Canoga Park.
Our choice there, didn't you?
Yeah, there's not very good ones. Eddie, good morning.
What it do, baby boo? What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, Ed.
Hey, how's it going, man? So my buddy works in construction. You know, he comes home every day late. Comes home last week, finds his lady with a pool man.
Wow, that's almost too cliche to be sexy.
Oh man, well, let's just say that pool man isn't going to be servicing any pools anytime soon, you know what I mean?
Hey.
Did he kill him?
No, but he left him without a use of his arms for a long while.
Really? He really like beat the crap out of him, broke the guy's arms?
Yeah, he broke one hand and broke the other arm.
Dude, it's a lot easier to find a new woman than it is to find a new pool guy.
That's for sure.
You got to keep that in mind before you attack.
I
you know,
he was more upset that he wasn't cleaning the pool right, like it was his lady.
I encourage my wife to do the pool guy just to stick around. It's hard to find a good pool guy.
You need some bonuses along the way?
Exactly. Whatever it takes.
Throw him a bone?
Keep him testing that water. Because we have just the right chlorine level. It's just perfect. Doesn't burn your eyes or anything.
Yeah, why screw that up? Let's close with Ryan on line 8 from San Pedro because he is calling about one of the best hours of television of the whole goddamn year last night, and that was the new Heroes. Good morning, Ryan.
What it boo?
What it boo?
What a boo to you, too.
Being Lisa May, Ralph, Reggie, Psycho Mike.
What's up?
What's going on?
Hey, Ralph, what do you think about the episode last night? Do you think Siler is going to, what do you think is going to happen since he doesn't have any powers or anything?
Yeah, I know. Siler without his powers. He ate a brain and nothing happened, man.
That is a letdown when you eat a brain and nothing happens.
It's a waste of good brain right there.
Wow.
No kidding, man.
He's stranded in the middle of the jungle. It's awesome.
I didn't see this one. I didn't see this episode yet. Sounds good.
It was fantastic. And they're always introducing new characters with new powers, Kevin. And they had a woman last night who has the power of illusion.
She wasn't new.
The power of illusion?
Well, this is the first time you've seen her do what she did last night on the show, though, right?
No. Remember Candace from last season? The hot chick who kidnapped Ali Lauder, baby boy illusions?
Right.
It's the same girl.
Oh, right.
She looks new now because she's changed her identity. She makes people see people in a different way.
Ah, I like it.
Yeah.
But she changes the entire environment, so you can be anywhere in the world doing anything that you want, which is just so awesome.
I think I love her.
And turns out she's a big old fat girl.
Oh.
Well, that's right.
Remember she said that to the kid? she goes, how do you eat like that and not get fat? And she's like, how do you know I'm not fat?
Turns out she is. She's huge.
That's a bad surprise.
It was a fantastic show. And I have friends that I can't get to watch shows because they think they're too far behind. But I think you can catch up on this show. I really do think they do a nice job of kind of reestablishing what's going on. Don't you guys?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, sure.
And Peter's got no memory. Now he's a gangster in Ireland. Oh, I wish I was a gangster in Ireland.
If you're not watching, you're a bad person.
No, I wish I was. With powers to move trucks with my mind.
All right. Let me thank our special guest, Jean-Sébastien Giguère, on the program today. Ducks versus Bruins. That's sold out. That's the home opener for the Ducks this year at Honda Center. But you can go see him and possibly Jiggy's return on Sunday against Minnesota if he's feeling up to it. We had a great interview with him today. AnaheimDucks.com is the information you want for their forthcoming season as they try to defend the cup.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show, the worst songs of the last 5 years. That's going to be one of the topics because Lightning says, hey, have you guys heard this song? It's awesome. We should totally be playing it. Yeah. And Bean says separately, that meant by the worst song I've ever heard in my life.
Great.
Talking about the same song.
Is Kid Rock going to come in and play live?
He's not, no.
Oh, okay.
I like that new CD.
I know you do.
I know. Also, tomorrow we got LaQuisha back on the program. She's going to give us a look at A Shot at Love. Is that the name of it? A Shot at Love?
I believe so.
Yes. Tequila, Tequila. MTV Tonight.
The bisexual dating show.
Mm-hmm. Guys and 16 guys, 16 girls, all vying for her love. I love that. Omar was surprised to show up at Gay Day at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. Sure he was.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
So that's coming up tomorrow as well.
Why was he wearing the fishnet gloves then? That's what I want to know.
He has worn fishnet for most of his life.
I know.
And yet he's trying to convince us, you know. And also, don't forget, we're sending you to see Incubus on the last stop of their tour. You qualify all week with Incubus catalogs, and then we're going to do a drawing on Friday morning to send you to Mexico.
Aye, aye, aye.
Such enthusiasm, Michael. Yes. How about some Beck, Rise Against, Alice in Chains, Weezer, and that solo Eddie Vedder song called Hard Sun? That's all coming up with Cat Corbett in 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock right after this.
You know damn well that Lindsay Lohan and Jessica Simpson was not using no proactive. So Diddy, whoa, proactive. Now, y'all into skincare products. Now y'all think it's official. Well, ha, I got a secret. I was up on proactive for 7 years. That's why I got silky smooth cocoa butter skin.